Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hi. Do you notice anything? Mike O'Meara.
I noticed that the microphones sound different.
No, they don't. The microphones sound the same.
My headphones are the same.
The issue is not sound.
I noticed my microphone cable is still hanging down where it was yesterday.
Negative.
The microphones are now more the same than they ever have been.
Mike? Look to the studio to your right.
Where is he? Oh, my God.
God needed a newsman, Mike.
When did it happen?
About 10:15 this morning.
How did it happen?
As always with Buzz, something to do with his bowels.
Is it really?
Is he dead?
Tell me that. I know he's not dead. You wouldn't be playing funeral music if he was dead. What's the matter with Buzz?
He has a hard-boiled egg stuck inside his intestine. You're so gullible. He's got the stomach flu.
Oh, he's got the stomach flu.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's sick?
He's sick.
It's a belly sickness?
Yes, he sounded ill when I spoke to him. The first thing he said when he called me was, I'm not feeling very perky today.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that going around.
So Buzz...
That's what everybody always says, isn't it?
Buzz is down for the count. However, news junkies, please know this, that we're not discarding the news and comments segment today.
Do we have a special celebrity guest?
Well, if you call Joe Ardinger a celebrity guest, I'd say yes, we do.
That's a celebrity guest to me.
And he'll be reading, I think... Pretty much the same...
Reading the news.
The same...
Struggling desperately to read the news.
The same list of stories that Buzz would have.
Buzz, in a weakened state, prepared most of today's newscast, and thank God was able to drop the stories off at his front door.
Well, has he been vomiting?
Yes.
Has he been experiencing the other end of things?
Stress?
Mike, I didn't get into it in great detail with him. I spoke a lot with Marsha, who told me just he's very sick.
Really?
And then he said...
I didn't even know to look over there.
He said he's very sick as well.
He has 107-degree temperature.
Well, that boiled egg will do it to you.
It will. Well, the egg... I mean, he's eating raw eggs, and they're boiled by the time
right.
In his belly. His Buzz belly.
Let's call him.
See how he's doing.
This will make him feel better.
And this is reminiscent...
He was fine yesterday.
This is reminiscent, really, of when he did have his colonic...
Hello?
Feedback. Hey, hi.
Hi. Let me turn my radio down.
Oh, you got your radio on.
Sure.
How about that?
How are you feeling?
Awful.
Wow. Well, you got a 24-hour thing?
Yeah, I did. The shower this morning was not a pleasant experience.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a good place. What, did you puke in there?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And other stuff?
Something else in there?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You did the thing in there that you did in Las Vegas in your pants?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Have you seen a physician?
No.
You just know it's going to be the 24-hour bug?
I guess so. I mean, I'm weak, you know, all the flu symptoms.
Do you think maybe it was the eggs, Buzz, seriously?
There is that possibility.
You do eat a lot of eggs.
From now on.
You know, I was talking...
17 minutes on every egg.
I was talking about over the weekend when I had that egg, and you know, I was sick as a dog.
And Buzz, I think there's something inherently unhealthy about the fact that you're... tossing that egg around and playing with it and setting it down.
Handling it down? Is that what you're talking about?
Setting it down on the dirty console and, you know, using it like a stress ball at the first
nasty.
Break of the show.
Well, it's still in its shell at that point, so I figured it was okay.
Buzz, here's all I need to know. Get well soon.
Yeah.
We miss you.
Thank you.
Shall we make arrangements?
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case.
Should I write something, Buzz?
Yeah, I'd love that, Mike. That would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's the least I can do.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Okay. Get better,
right,
buddy.
Thank you.
Get well soon.
All right.
Get well soon.
Bye-bye. He's desperate to get off the phone. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, you're sick and you're actually on the air, you just want to get off the phone.
I think his wish was for just plain pine.
I think plain pine, yeah. Well, are you sure he's not that austere, is he?
I think he just wants something simple.
Well, something at least with a finish.
Well, I mean, well, of course, we'll finish.
Mike, let's ask.
And a wooden cross.
Yeah. Let's ask.
Brass
queer,
handles.
The queer guys for the straight guys, what do they recommend?
Zhuzhing means taking something and tweaking it, fluffing it, nudging, or finessing it to be a little more fabulous and fun.
Okay.
Zhuzhing?
Zhuzhing,
guys.
Zhuzhing. Zhuzhing, yes.
Maybe they'd like to give Buzz a manscaping.
Have you heard about that with the queer eyes from the straight guys? Or whatever they are?
I don't watch that.
The Fab Five?
Mowing your lawns. If the hair on the top of your head is a canvas for glorious self-expression, the rest of your fuzz crop is best stifled and hidden away.
Are they advocating shaving? Is that what they're saying? Full body shaving. That's what I heard. I read between the lines on that one, Don.
I'm just teasing this upcoming event on the show, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. They have a book on tape. They have a book on tape, and we've got it. Oh, Bill O'Reilly is always saying something.
Did we have one yesterday?
No, we didn't. And as it turns out, it's great because today's is maybe the best Bill O'Reilly moment we've had since we've resurrected the series.
And he's another one that's got the major colon issues, too.
And a lot of times what we do is take one thing that he says.
True. You didn't read about that one?
He has, in the shower?
No, not in the shower. He has the same thing Buzz and I have had.
I did not know that.
He does.
Bill O'Reilly has diverticulitis?
Yes, he does.
Godspeed, Bill O'Reilly.
You guys are so gullible.
You know what?
I just made it up
for the hell of it. I just did that for fun.
Okay.
I just did this.
A little payback.
That was good
for you.
There you go.
Good for you. But this is not made up.
Okay.
This is from his show today. And sometimes we take something that he says and we edit that one part out of a sentence. I want you to know that there was nothing technical done to this tape today. Today's Bill O'Reilly moment is 9 seconds long. And it is one gigantic run-on sentence by Bill O'Reilly. He always has something to say. He's America's favorite fake newsman. Here is his moment of the day.
I want food. I want beer. I want porn movies. I want internet games. I want to cut people's heads off.
There you go.
What?
As I mentioned,
that's a fantastic one today.
None of that enhanced. He's God's gift to media.
I want food.
Right, Bill.
I want beer.
Uh-huh.
I want porn movies.
Right.
I want internet games. I want to cut people's heads off.
Me too.
Boy, he's in a lot of pain, that man.
Me too, dude.
Wow.
Hey, new joke service today.
What's it called?
Bitman.
Hey!
Bitman!
It's got the Batman logo upside down.
Hey, there you go.
Hello.
Be like if you hung yourself from your shoes.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Don.
Hello.
Yes, Don. Yes, go ahead. I'm so delighted that you've got another bid service.
Mr. Drysdale.
Yes.
NBC.
Milburn, please call me Milburn.
NBC. Will NBC aired the final part of their earthquake miniseries 10-5 last night. They say it was the biggest NBC disaster since Whoopi.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah,
wow. They're all the same. They sound the same.
Say, Mike.
Yes, Don?
What happened to Mr. Drysdale? Hey, Mr. Drysdale.
Don't worry about that. He comes and he goes. I'm anxious to hear the next joke.
Authorities have confiscated several pairs of Michael Jackson's Calvin Klein underwear. The good news, he gets to keep his underoos.
That's rather forced, don't you think, Mr. Shannon? Go ahead, read the next one.
Kevin Garnett,
yes?
Of the Minnesota Timberwolves was named the NBA's MVP, finishing second, Jason Williams' lawyer.
Oh, God. I think we've actually come across a service that's actually worse than the one you had before.
All right, let me find one. Is there anyone that's funny here? Well, of course, none of them are funny.
How about a Barry Bonds joke?
No, don't have it, Rob. Mr. Drysdale, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger visited Israel where he denounced anti-Semitism.
Yes, that's interesting, Mr. Shannon.
Arnold says he hates anti-Semitism, especially when someone asks him to spell it.
Oh God.
Oh, the bit man.
It's like a bad egg.
I know. Makes you want to go right back to the Queer Eyes. What happened to the
Queer Eyes?
Oh, you take that one out already?
You did.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Man, I'm efficient.
Zhuzhing.
Hey, Mike.
Yes?
Mike.
Yes. Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we're gonna have to change that.
Why?
Because it's just not gonna work. I've gotta have some possibility for flexibility. Because you will catch me by surprise every day if we do it that way.
And
I'll feel foolish
every
day.
I just say, hey, Mike. Say, hey, now.
We have to work some sort of system.
Say, hey, now, because...
Hey, look around, Cafe.
There you go.
Hey, now.
Oh, hi, call us.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yep, all right, here they come. Hi, Julia. All your uncles. Oh, they're bringing up the rear today. There she is. Hi, Julia.
It's from a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Hi, then.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hog Dog and all the ships at sea. They are truly pepper traders. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode is Tuesday. And that's 05, 04, 04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Here's the phone number.
Oh, Buzz, you're a mess. You need to take a shower before you came in today.
What happened to you?
I had a problem in the shower.
It happened in the shower.
It was, you would not have wanted to be in my shower.
A phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636.
And I like my shower. It's nice.
From Canada. Please do always be calling 800-636-1067, Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. Okay, oh, hold on here, someone right away. Ryan has something we're going to talk about anyway. Let's get to it. Ryan, hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, did you see Jay Maynard last night on Jimmy Kimmel?
We have the audio here of
Maynard Jay.
Of Jay Maynard, the Tron guy on Jimmy Kimmel. I've heard he was pretty funny, that he came off pretty well.
Oh, my God. They sent him outside to ask if people really could find out who he was, and it was hilarious.
That's what I heard. It was a good bit. We've got it. We've got it on tape, and we'll be calling Jay Maynard here in just a moment.
You guys made him popular.
To find out how he thought his time on Jimmy Kimmel went. All right, thanks. See you later. All right, goodbye.
Not to be late to the party, but that Jimmy Kimmel show I saw for the first time was pretty funny.
Yeah?
I mean, he's funny, and he's very
relaxed. Boycotted here in D.C., right? I mean,
All Britain runs it now.
Oh, they run it now?
Yeah, they started it, what, like a few weeks ago, and it's now an hour on, it's like an hour delay.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
It's not live.
It's not like running against Leno and Letterman.
It comes on, I think, at 12:05. Nightline runs 30 minutes, right?
Okay.
So it's right after Nightline.
I'm going to try Jay Maynard right now, the Tron guy. The guy from the internet. See if he enjoyed his...
completed as dialed.
Hold on a second. See if he enjoyed his experience, Kevin. See if anybody called him at his hotel.
Yeah, I bet he was pounded mercilessly. Because he almost issued a challenge yesterday.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, we're calling his cell phone right now. This is the guy that we found on the internet. The guy who made his own Tron suit. Put the pictures and his story of how he made this suit. And he's a good-looking guy. Member of the Don and Mike Workout Club.
Absolutely a beautifully sculpted male.
Your call has been forwarded.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
System 5-0.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give out the guy's
phone. Jay Maynard.
Okay, not available. We'll call him back. Who knows what he's doing right now, for God's sakes. But I've heard he was funny on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, he was.
We got it in what, Machine 1?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the guy discovered on the Don and Mike Show. Now on Jimmy Kimmel just 10 days later. What is this?
This is the theme of the Jimmy Kimmel program.
Okay. Did you just put this on because you like it?
I thought it was funny. Also, you should hear who the guest is.
Okay, all right. Well, we know the guest. It's Ozzy Osbourne.
Thanks.
Isn't that what he said yesterday, that the guests are going to be Ozzy and Sherry Osbourne?
Yeah. Or Sharon.
Oh, Sherry. What do they call her? Sherry Osbourne?
Yeah, it was Sherry. But was he on? Was Ozzy on?
Her name should be Sherry. Ozzy and Sherry sounds like...
Hello, Sherry Osbourne.
Sounds like it goes together. They both end with E.
From Hollywood,
Jim Belushi.
What happened to Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne?
It was explained in between one of the desk pieces that there was amazingly some confusion between the Kimmel camp and the Osbourne camp. And Ozzy's actually going to be on Thursday.
But, you know, it's one of, isn't one of a Belushi always available?
Yeah, and you know he's got to be like the break glass in case
of
emergency guy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Well, and an amazing piece of synergy. Apparently, Jimmy Kimmel's uncle, Sal, maybe? There's some uncle.
Yeah, there's an uncle that does bits on that show.
He's on, according to Jim, this week.
Oh, okay.
So it was an amazing piece of ABC synergy.
I wonder if Jim Belushi had any contact with Jay Maynard.
Well, we'll find out. We'll get a hold of Jay Maynard at some point today. We'll get a hold of this guy.
Absolutely.
Now, keep in mind, 10 days ago, he was just some nerd on the web.
We plucked him from obscurity.
We found him. We don't want anything from him. We're glad for his success.
We don't want anything to do with him.
No, we don't. You know what's funny is
once that 15 minutes is up, see you later, nerd man.
Sometimes you hear stuff on the radio, and I guess it doesn't translate. I was on a computer today and talking to Rob on the telephone about this guy. Saying, have you heard from him yet? No, not yet. Anyway, I was on his page. I did the Google search.
Right.
Tron suit. He's the first guy that comes up, Jay Maynard. I hung up the phone, and I said to Frida, come here and look at the picture of this guy. And, you know, she had heard it on the show.
Right.
But she took a second. She looked at the picture. She says, oh, God, these are like scary, funny, like make you feel
sure
bad for him. God, is there anything that people won't put on the internet? I said, no. And this is the guy that's on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right. He's famous now.
He was on our show. Then he's on Jimmy Kimmel.
All the hours that we were mocking, you know, the hours of effort that he put in.
Yes.
It's come to fruition. He's on national television.
It's a fact. Cracked the 15 minutes of fame.
But then, you know,
he crashes and burns.
It'll be all over, and he will vanish.
Or who knows, Mike, will he?
Or maybe
will
he? Well, I think the next time you see him on national television, he'll be featured in a 2020 special.
Or
the secret behind the lovable man with the Tron suit.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. There's either going to be a crawl space.
Right.
Or, how about this? He's the new breakout star of ABC.
they give him his own sitcom.
They need a show to piggyback with, according to Jim. What
sure.
about?
According to Nerds?
After
Tron Man.
Just the Jay Maynard show.
You know, the thing is, if that guy, well, look, you know, I think the rules have changed slightly with William Hung.
Yeah.
I think William Hung has now made guys that are misfits more fashionable. They've always been popular on this show.
True.
But really, you're starting to see more of them on a national television.
Oh, and William Hung with American Idol. Listen, Fox, I'm stupid, and I knew that last night was not a new American Idol. I knew it.
Right.
But why do I feel now that all of the networks are programming their stuff directly just to piss me off?
Now, why were you pissed off last night?
I thought with The Sopranos, they were doing it to irritate me with Tony breaking down. Then last night, I'm watching this, the American Idol special, which I know is just a bunch of behind-the-scenes moments where you're supposed to get the, allegedly, know the final five up close and personal.
Yeah, it was kind of a PR pitch for each one of the contestants.
Yeah, it's garbage. It was garbage, but I...
They're garbage cans!
But I sat there like a zombie.
I watched
sat
it,
there.
Too. I wanted to see what they were going to sing.
Sat there like a
zombie. You know what? And what I did, like every idiot that's a big fan of that show,
what?
I critiqued the performances, too. That was really better than she's ever sung before.
I said the same thing. She's never sang that good on the show before.
The two weak ones, Jasmine and DeJarmo, they both sounded good. I thought LaToya didn't do her best work.
No, and I thought George Huff was okay.
I didn't. That's the only one I didn't see. I didn't see George
I thought
Huff.
George Huff was okay.
He was the first. Was he the first
one? Yeah, and I think he's the one that's going to be voted out.
I think he's going to go.
I bailed right after Fantasia. Did they only do songs they had already done in the competition?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. They did their favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. Now listen, here we are, proudly going like schoolgirls, talking about the dreamy BMOC.
Yeah.
And look at this. I'm a dope. I'm a dope for watching it.
But it's American Idol, and the country's in love with it.
I know. God damn it.
I mean, to me, it's another...
I love that show so much. When will that show be off the air so my life will go back to normal?
Do you know what? I looked at that
show... How many more weeks do they have of that show?
I looked at that show last night as just another chance to, like, evaluate them.
I love that show so bad. I like it.
That show you dig so bad.
I like it so bad. I like it so bad that it's almost like taking control of me now.
And you know what? I fell asleep during the Swan.
Oh.
so I didn't get a chance to see them when they got done. I just saw them when they were ugly. And I saw the one with the acne who was the biggest head case all of them.
I don't watch the Swan because I'm tired of all the ads where they say this week the most unbelievable Swan, the most unbelievable transformation.
I'm enough of a Swanchinato. That
enough of a faggot.
I'm enough of a Swan Shinato where I will be able to tell you, you know, that those two had potential to be great makeovers. That they when they break every bone in their face and they come out looking the one when they got done giving her the acne treatment.
Yeah.
Where which really, you know, they can say it's a very special CO2 treatment or laser reinforcement enhancement, and what they're doing really. They're burning her face beyond recognition and then like putting new skin on it. And she looked, it was the worst I've ever seen anybody come out of surgery. Her lips were so inflated and her skin was just raw. And it's like, how you doing? She's like,
Frida's a big believer in that show, The Swan.
I love it.
She watches it every week. I cannot.
I've gotten into it, and you know, because what's on against it?
I can't. Well, I don't know. What was it last night? The Raymond Show. You know?
Yes. I'm so burned on that show.
I don't know. And then for a while, I got like morbidly curious about Pat Tillman. Because all of the sports networks were
I'm not here. Laughing about that. I'm laughing about the Swan, that you would have enjoyed the Swan last night because one of the parts of it before I nodded out and passed out because I was too tired of watching shows like that, they had one with the worst teeth. And they made the comment like, I forgot what her name was. She's had years and years
What's her name, Condoleezza?
She's had years of neglect. Years of neglect. Oh. And it's the first, I think it may be the first contestant where they said, we're going to have to do a root canal. And then one of the teeth had to be pulled.
If they say,
clean out of her head.
If they say years of neglect, what they're saying is, it's not that God gave her a bad set of teeth.
No.
It's not that, you know, something went wrong. It's just
neglect.
She never took care of them.
And I mean, really, when we're talking neglect, they showed her choppers. And when they got a close-up of the choppers, I was really thinking that this is an individual who maybe just doesn't brush at all.
That bad?
It was bad. It was nasty looking.
I would think that eventually they'd get to a level on the Swan where they'd just yank them all and put in false ones, or as we call
it, you know what,
the Murphy.
Seriously, that's what they do? Because they talk about the thing they sell on the Swan is this product. I think it's a product called Da Vinci Veneers. And
I've seen those on the show.
There is not a contestant. I don't think there's a contestant that hasn't gotten a full set of
veneers.
They all
get the new teeth.
They all get the new chopper.
They all get the new bright white teeth. I'm watching the Regis show today.
Right.
And the morning show.
Uh-huh.
And they are doing the Mother's Day, whatever the BS makeover thing is that they're doing. And they've got the mom who they've surprised. They've sent Regis out. Regis wearing a jogging suit.
Hey, mom. Oh,
funny. So he's out in a jogging
suit. He's so New York.
And he knocks on the door and he surprises the woman there, and, you know, and the daughter's there. And they're going to give the mom a makeover. And,
hey, Momo.
As the mom is smiling and crying, her teeth are like a jack-o'-lantern. I mean, she has giant holes all over her face. And they don't address her dental status because it's the Regis show and they're just going to bring her to New York.
Sure.
And they're going to, I'm thinking, they're just going to, like, send her to a spa and give her the treatment.
I mean, really make that show funny. You should bring her to New York and make her chew foil.
Well, they all, now all of these shows go all the way with the makeover thing because then they announce that the woman's coming to New York. They open up the curtains and, like on every makeover show, they have the team of doctors.
Oh, really? The Regis had that?
Yeah.
Well, they're totally ripping the Swan off.
Well, Swan is totally ripping off Total Makeover.
Total Makeover, exactly.
Total
Makeover. But the team of doctors is the, you know, I mean, when they're just sitting and they bring them out on stage, that Regis show did this?
Yeah, and I know that on...
I was like, Gelman to me.
I know on Extreme Makeover, and I know on the Swan, that, you know, they have, like, $6 million man type graphics, and they're...
Yes.
And they're sitting at a big, like, apprentice-like table.
Right, exactly.
So, on the Regis show, they just open a curtain, like a fifth-year-old, a five-year-old play, you know, for an elementary school. They just open the curtain.
Like a a wooden set, cardboard set.
They open the curtain and it's painted
refrigerator box.
Like you see an R-Town or something. It opens up and there's just these five doctors that are standing there. There's like there's the obvious guy that's the hair guy. Then there's,
right.
then there's the dental guy. Then there's
they had a dentist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they didn't talk to any of them. They all just stood there and the camera panned on each of them. We just said, "Well, all right, you'll be working with his mother, and we'll see you tomorrow." And then the curtain closed. So everybody's got him now.
You know, the worst part of the Swan, the phoniest part of the Swan, because you know if you've read the reviews of the Swan, for whatever reason, you know, like there's not. Like, other shows aren't equally cruel, but they talk about the cruelty of this and the superficiality. And I think to humanize the show, whenever they show the little vignettes where the girls are talking about how horrible it's been being made fun of and being ugly, they do cutaways to the panel of doctors and specialists so you get the sympathetic look on their face, especially the women, especially this one woman dentist who is... They obviously probably had her own plastic surgery done, and they cut away and say, "I was made fun of in high school. Oh. They called me Scarface." And they cut away to one of the women who's just looking this really sympathetic look. "Well, now we're going to carve your face
up." Did you get the impression when they show those sympathetic cut-ins that they were maybe shot?
Yeah.
Like a whole different...
Yeah, like broadcast news.
Yeah, exactly.
Work up some tears for me.
Okay, here's Jay Maynard, the guy in the Tron suit.
On Jimmy Kimmel?
Last night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
And since the breakup this evening, as kids, yeah, I think we'd all remember dressing up as a superhero or a character from our favorite movie. But when a 43-year-old man from Fairmont, Minnesota does it, it's unusual to say the least. Our next guest has turned his love for the 1982 movie Tron into an outfit. And he's become very popular on the internet for doing it. Here he is, Jay Maynard, everybody.
Do you feel like a proud parent like I do, Mike?
Hey, give him the credit. They've got the theme of Tron.
And yeah. When they opened the curtains, the theater went black and his suit was lit up.
Really?
It was great.
Did he look as slim as he did in the photos on the internet? Okay.
Something else. Thanks for being here, Jay.
Let's hear our guy talk.
You got the Prismion in your back. Mm-hmm. And how is that lit up?
This is electroluminescent wire. There's a battery hidden under here.
Oh, really? What kind of a battery is
it? Right away, here's the deal. He's sick. And it's obviously like all this stress has gotten him a little ill. You can tell. You see, hear how sick he sounds?
This is electroluminescent wire.
I just thought that was the nerd in him.
No, he
speaking.
Was... First day we called him, he was, "Hi, how are you?" He sounded like this. Now he's like...
All right, let me analyze his voice.
Okay.
I'm wearing 10 AA batteries and a 9 volt.
Is that right?
Yep.
To power the uniform or just for fun?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both? Now, tell us about the movie. How old were you in 1982 when it came out?
I was 22.
22 years old. You went to see it, and what happened?
And that was the first movie I ever paid to see twice in the theater.
Oh, really?
And I've only done that twice now.
What's the other movie?
The Emperor's New Groove.
Wait, okay, that's a movie. Hey, we didn't get that out of him. Ah, those network TV boys.
I got to try.
They get their staffs, you know, doing the research. The Emperor's New Groove.
Right.
Wow.
Isn't that a kid's movie?
It's an animated movie.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, like one of my kids, they've seen it dozens of times.
Is that something like Michael Jackson might have?
Yeah.
In his playroom?
The Emperor's New... Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now let's do it in real life.
Bye. David Spade.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Where's Maynard?
50.
You know what? He's all jammed up. Maybe he's on the phone now.
Well, he's probably flying back.
Oh, well, what time did he ask? Did he tell you? Did you ask anything about his itinerary, his travel?
He volunteered it yesterday that he would be on a plane today, and since that would
no,
be...
No. He's using a jetpack.
Oh, that's right. He's using his outfit to fly home. But since this is a... Aren't the... Flights that go east take longer, right?
Little
4
bit.
Hours?
Yeah, little
so
bit.
Then you'll be in the air probably.
Hey, jetpack. God, am I glad you mentioned that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're glad.
I want to tell you something, and this is something that's really been bothering me for a long time. Last night, while you were watching The Swan or whatever, I was watching the Pat Tillman stuff on the NFL channel. And Jesus Christ, how did Jim Rome get invited to go there? I mean, that's like at the guy's real funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Rome's up there, and a bunch of football players are up there, and it's a sad scene, and they're crying and everything. And then, because they don't have any commercials on the NFL channel, they cut away to Super Bowl highlights.
Okay.
And stuff that's happened in the past. And I remember this from when I was a kid. Super Bowl number one.
Jets against...
No, Green Bay against Kansas City.
The guy with the jetpack, right?
Yeah. And now, I remember when I was a kid seeing that. How come we don't see that now?
I agree.
You know, that was 1966.
When it was just... And he was flying all around the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, they did a thing with, like, the Green Bay Packers, the greatest team ever. The spectacle unseen by anybody.
Right.
And I remember watching it when I was a kid on TV and seeing the guy who's got the rocket pack. And
pretty amazing.
He goes, he flies all over, and he comes right back down. Now, I think I've seen it maybe at NASCAR races.
Right.
But how come this jetpack has never taken off?
And really, isn't it about time now with our... With our highways in every major market that this show is on, clogging up with too much traffic, isn't it about time we start to maybe head down the Jetson Highway opposed to the internet?
We have it when Lombardi was coaching against Hank Stram.
Your point would be we can hone it, we can refine it.
What's happening?
Make it better.
67, 77, 87, 97. That's 30 years.
37 years.
37 years.
Right, almost 40 years.
Since this thing was seen at the Super Bowl.
You know, you look back, and since they've been predicting everything's going to happen in the year 2000, the only thing that's really changed is cell phones.
Right.
That's it. That's the real big change we've had.
And I think it would be, wouldn't it be, I mean, really, from a practical standpoint, if you could fuel it efficiently, can you imagine getting up, going down to your garage, strapping on your little jetpack and popping over, and just going over trees and stuff and just landing at work?
Who cares about going to work? Yeah. How about just on the weekend? What are you going to do? I'm going out to fly. I'm going to fly a little bit.
That would be so awesome.
That would be so totally cool, totally awesome. Like, I'm a valley girl. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
They had a jetpack on last week. Some guy set a new world record.
Where did they have the jetpack last week?
I can't remember exactly. He took off on a sidewalk. Excuse me.
You got Jay Maynard's cold?
Oh, gosh.
No, he took off from the sidewalk, and he went straight up, and he landed on top of the building. I think it was like 16 stories.
Wow, if Buzz was here, I'd ask him about that. He might be able to find out about it.
Yes, it was 16 stories.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, if possible, no, I'd like to interject today's show.
No problem.
With Buzzisms whenever you call upon him.
Hey, Robbie, we don't still have those tapes, do we? Of Buzz from when Buzz was hospitalized like 3 or 4 years ago. We actually had the tapes, so it would sound like he was here.
Right. I'd just like to say what he would say.
Okay, sure.
I'm not really sure, but I think it was 16 stories. Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
I'd like to interject about the jetpack.
Now, are you trying to do the basement of the science building voice?
I've got a 12-inch tape.
Right. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi, John.
Yes.
Yes, John. Hi.
Jetpack sighting. I think I saw it, if I remember correctly, on the $6 million man.
Okay, but again, that would be
in the 70s.
Here's the question. It's 2004. It's 2004.
And can't we make them so we can, like, zing to work in them?
Where's the jetpack today? Hello, Joe.
Hey guys, how you
doing? Hi, Don and Mike show, Joe.
You know, I one of the morons that I work with listens to the jungle, so to speak. How much more commercial can they make this Pat Tillman thing? I mean, come on. I mean, they need to drop it. The guy did what he did. He died. It's a huge shame. But I mean, they're making it out like it's a big commercial thing.
That's what we do in America. That's what the NFL does. The NFL says,
but,
hey.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just wrong. I mean,
of course it's wrong, but it's what
I don't think it's a bad idea to glorify a guy that did something that very, very few human beings in this country would do. I mean, turn down millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I agree with that.
God
that's incredible.
Him, but yeah, don't make it a commercial.
Yeah, you
I
see.
Mean, it's like Christmas now.
See, the thing is, this guy is right. That you
now, when you're saying it's a commercial, you explain that to me because I did not follow the coverage.
They're trying to make it like Christmas is now. I mean, Christmas is supposed to be a time of giving and this guy gave all he had, but now it's a big commercial now. I mean,
Somebody explain to me, why is it a big commercial? I don't understand that.
Here's why it's a commercial. For instance, when they're showing on ESPN or on the NFL channel the coverage of the moving ceremony of today and the people that were speaking, coincidence? I think not. That when they got away from the actual standing in front of the American flag speaking about him, well, even while they were there, the Arizona Cardinals logo is right in the background. And they've all got Arizona Cardinal lapel pins on. And
man, that's what the guy wasn't about.
And they're announcing in Arizona, where I think they get like five people to go to every game,
right,
that in their new stadium that they're going to be erecting a statue
of
Pat Tillman, because he, you know, really shows what the NFL and the American spirit is all about.
Wrong. Well, now I understand what both you guys are saying.
And you know what I would say? What I would say to anybody outside of a diehard football fan, and I mean no disrespect to Pat Tillman, you could have come up to anybody the year before he quit to go be in the service. So you ever heard of Pat Tillman? No. You'd have to be like a diehard football junkie. He was in the secondary. He's a white guy in the secondary.
I have to plead ignorance.
For Arizona.
I have to plead ignorance on the whole Pat Tillman thing outside of what I've read in the newspapers. But the fact is, didn't Pat Tillman, correct me if I'm wrong, leave all of the trappings of the NFL to serve his country? Because he thought it, you know, I mean, well, who knows what his motivations were. Then how can they? So they're now trying to attach themselves to him?
Yes, everybody.
I think that's garbage.
You know, and I see, for instance, Tagliabue. He's at this thing. Now, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I know Pat Tillman played in the NFL and gave up the NFL to go
serve
his country. That's great. You know what you do, Paul Tagliabue, if you're not a whore looking to glom on this to make yourself look somehow like you're a better person and that you're getting behind this? You send some flowers. Or you call his wife up and say, I'm going to pay your house off.
Yeah, exactly.
Just message to the NFL. You know what heroes do? Heroes do stuff that nobody ever finds out about.
Right.
That's how you're a hero.
Amen.
You're not a hero by going to Pat Tillman's goddamn funeral and standing up with the NFL logo everywhere.
Boys and girls, listen to what Uncle Donnie just said, because it's the truest thing in the world.
Anyway.
It's exactly what heroes do. And you know what? That's the real heroes are the ones you don't hear about. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying this guy, Pat Tillman's not worthy of our remembrance.
Well, he was. That's what made him a real hero, because of just what you said. You wouldn't have been able to pick the guy out of a lineup. The guy did all this, really, in relative obscurity.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, he was popular in the Arizona area.
Yeah, because he went to school at Arizona as well. But beyond that, he played on a suck team TV that nobody knew anything about.
Putting the Cardinals logo in back, I mean, that's just...
Well, it's in one of the wide shots. It's in one of the wide shots, you know, there were guys coming up, you know, maybe it shouldn't have been on TV. Maybe that's the thing. Because, like, there were people coming up to speak, and they were speaking from the heart, but they were wearing his jersey, and there was a picture of him with his jersey back there. And
see, it's all about football.
Yeah.
That's what it shouldn't be about.
Well, they'll say that was what his life was about, that he was real big into football.
I think the measure of his life was something a lot more significant than
that. Well, anyway, all I know is that while I was watching that last night, which I couldn't turn off, I don't know. I saw the jetpack, and I just thought, why don't we have freaking jetpacks?
Getting back to serious matters, why we don't have jetpacks.
We don't have jetpacks. They had a jetpack January 1967 at the Los Angeles Coliseum for the first Super Bowl.
They will say, I'm sure, whatever scientist calls us today, will say that it was impractical. That's why the jetpack, get it, never got off the ground.
You know what? I don't care. And Rob, no, I don't think that's possible. Back in the first Super Bowl, I don't think it was possible with CGI.
I don't know.
I don't think they had the C, much less the G or the I back then.
You can use my C.
Okay. I don't think so. We got... Oh, hold on. Let me just see what's happening here. Because every line is ringing now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Please, for the love of Christ, turn your radio down.
I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm calling from Buffalo.
You're calling from Buffalo. Congratulations.
Right, let me ask you. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, what's going on back there? I'm hearing all sorts of noises and rustling. And what are you doing?
I own a business that I do barbecue, so you probably heard my bus and stuff. That's all.
Okay. Oh, there you go. All right. Thanks. What can we do for you?
All right. The jetpack?
Yes.
Is in a museum here in Buffalo. This is where it was made, developed, and tested.
Buffalo, New York, ladies and gentlemen.
And I got
the jetpack.
And it's going
to
be...
Honest to God. Bell Aerospace.
We're going to have Spotlight on Buffalo later in today's show as well, but this is another good reason. Spotlight on Buffalo.
The jetpack was invented in Buffalo.
Sure was. Bell Aerospace.
Well, how come you didn't start mass producing them?
It only flew like something like 4 minutes, I think.
Oh. That might be the problem.
Because of the fuel. You can't carry the fuel that it takes to fly it.
Yeah, but that was back in the day. Now,
you know
what I say? I don't even have to have like a fancy one. Give me the Toyota Prius of jetpacks.
Solar powered jetpacks.
Give me something that works like half on that gas that they make out of corn oil.
Sure, absolutely.
And half that runs on. Like, you know what I want? Give me the car that runs like the one in Back to the Future. Remember, all you had to do was put garbage in there.
Yes, yes, recycled garbage.
Garbage made that car go.
You'll need a flux capacitor.
My friend.
And the guy in England that did it with chicken droppings?
Listen, you're a winner. Hold on a second. You got something. Spotlight on Buffalo. That's where they were invented. What's your name?
Art.
You got a Vermont teddy bear. Send your mummy or your wife a handmade Vermont teddy bear this Mother's Day. Go online to VermontTeddyBear.com, okay?
Alrighty.
Alright, thank you. You want to give a plug for your barbecue business?
Yeah, it's called Merlin's Badass Barbecue.
And what's your specialty of the house, Art?
My pulled pork.
Pulled pork. Your pulled
for
pork.
Real. For real, honest to God, guys.
Now, do you mean your pulled pork, or do you mean the pork you sell in the store?
What it is I roast the pig, and then you pull it by hand. You don't use a knife.
Hey, Art, you pull all the pork off.
Hey, who would win in a fight? One of your pigs or a big dog?
Big dog.
That was the discussion we had yesterday.
I love you guys.
Thank you. Hold on, Art. Thanks.
All right.
Hold on a second. What's that called again, Mike? Hog dogging?
Hog dogging, dog.
Hog dogging. Oh, man, are we late. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Remember when you were a kid, you gave your mom gifts like the macaroni necklace?
Hey.
Plaster handprints. Why are you locked in your room? Gave mom a macaroni necklace and clay ashtrays. She loved them so much, she probably still has them today.
Mother's Day is this Sunday.
Oh, I'm glad you told me, Mike.
And if you're looking for a great gift to show mom you're just as creative and thoughtful now as you were then, send her a Vermont teddy bear made just for her, won't you please?
Listen, they're ready to take your call, 1-800-829-BEAR. Help you tailor a bear just for your mom, your wife, your grandma, like the nurse bear, the teaching bear, the gardener bear, or the one that I like, the Tron bear.
Sending a Vermont teddy bear is as easy as sending flowers. You know, she'll keep it forever, just like the clay ashtray. If you send it to her at work, she'll be able to brag about you all day long, all day.
How about the Buzz Takes a Shower Bear?
Yeah, the Buzz's Shower Bear.
Overnight Saturday delivery guaranteed. Takes 5 minutes to order, so call today. 1-800-829-BEAR. VermontTeddyBear.com online. Tell them Don and Mike sent ye.
The Don and Mike Show. WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jim Mora. Hi, I'm Don. This is Mike. Could we impose on you, just ask you to say, Don and Mike, you're sick in the head?
Could you just say, if you would make us happy.
That'll go on somewhere. I'm not going to
Yeah, we will play it for the next 10 years. That's what I
can't every day.
But it
might outlast that interview I did.
Well, listen, Coach, best of luck in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Jim Mora, thank you. Good luck with the Colts.
He's sick.
All right.
Sick in the head.
The Don and Mike Show. Now in their 20th season, it's the Don and Mike Show.
I'm trying to find the tape of Jim Mora where he says that they're sick in the head.
They had to get their ass thrown right out of the stadium.
I got the one where he says, we stink, it's diddly poo.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked. The second half, we just got our ass totally kicked.
Oh, hold on. Here it is. Here's the great one.
Tonight I saw and heard one of the most disgusting, rudest, sick demonstrations in my entire career, probably sick. The worst.
Sick.
When Wade Wilson got hurt, I actually looked up in the stands and saw people standing, clapping, and cheering when he was laying on the ground with a knee injury.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, those are some sick, 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 sick people. Mentally sick. I thought it was horrible, disgusting, embarrassing, shameful. It stuck.
I could have blown his knee out.
People are sick when they do something like that. Absolutely
freaking
sick.
Guy's out there busting his ass, gets his knee blown up, not badly, hopefully.
Busting his ass,
yeah.
Like all of our guys were, gets his knee blown up, not badly, hopefully. And they're standing and cheering and clapping. Those are sick people, sick in the head. They ought to get their ass thrown right out of the stadium.
So now listen to when we talk to Jim Mora.
Jim Mora. Hi, I'm Don. This is Mike. Could we impose on you, just ask you to say, Don and Mike, you're sick in the head.
Could you just say, if you would make us happy.
That'll
it's the big cojones, because this is just like four,
right after it happened.
4 or 5 months after he just got canned.
Yeah.
He's walking around trying to find a job at the Super Bowl.
All we want to do is have him say that sick in the head thing.
I'll go on somewhere. I'm not going to
We will play it for the next 10 years. That's
true. I can't every day.
But
it might outlast that interview I did.
Well, listen, Coach, best of luck in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Jim Mora, thank you. Good luck with the Colts.
He's sick.
All right.
Sick. Sick in the head.
Well, he just got the gig in Indianapolis.
Yes, he did. And how long did that last?
Until he went ballistic there.
we need more of that in the NFL. Guys that go nuts.
Until he went nuts there. Here you go. See if you remember when this girl called the show. Hi, Don and Mike. I was the winner of the On Air with Ryan Seacrest contest.
Okay.
Remember this girl called us up and said that she won a trip to go to Los Angeles to go do it. Is that TV show he's doing canceled yet?
Not yet.
No, his daytime chat show. I've been a loyal listener of your show for the last 15 years. You told me you'd like me to ask Ryan questions on your behalf.
Yes.
I have since found out my itinerary. I'll be flying to Los Angeles on May 19th. That's a couple of weeks from now. And I'll be meeting with Ryan Seacrest on the 20th. Do you think you could get me your list of questions by then? I hope to hear from you soon. You've brought me much joy over the last 15 years, and you've gotten me through the low moments in my life, and believe me, there have been many. With heartfelt gratitude, Amy Beggar. And then she writes, P.S. I'm Eric Bickle's next-door neighbor.
Oh! That's nice.
Well, tell Eric we said hi.
Yeah, absolutely, E.B. Good to hear from him.
So anyway, that's... you got a tape of E.B.?
I do somewhere.
Hold you got it somewhere?
I'm going to find it.
For goodness sake, this is all we have, one word. That's all. We worked with this guy at the state for 5 years. All we got left on tape is one word.
Live.
Live. There's Eric Bickle.
Live.
Anyway... this girl, we'll get back to her. We'll get back to Eric Bickle's neighbor.
Yeah, and we'll give some questions. I know just one of the questions has to have something to do with body shaving.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I can't imagine she's really going to be able to ask all of these.
Right.
Or maybe the contest was that she won a chance to sit down and interview Ryan Seacrest.
Does she ever look in the mirror in the morning and think that he signed a pact with the devil?
And there's tons of them. Plus, we could ask him all the stuff that we ask all the other people, too. Like, who are you voting for, George Bush or Jim Carrey?
Simple questions.
Right, simple questions for a simple man. So, thank you, Amy.
Amy Beggar?
Amy Banger? Amy Banger.
Amy Bickle.
That's her.
Amy Bickle.
That's the name. What do you got to say, you queers?
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. The Fab Five's guide to looking better, dressing better, behaving better, and living better.
Uh-huh.
We know our mission and how important it is. Every second in America, a straight man puts on a pair of pleated pants. A shock. Every minute, a man lathers his bald head with a bar of soap and shaves it with a 29-cent throwaway razor. Ah, the horror! Because knowing how to dress better, how to behave better, how to look, cook, and live better...
You know, this is a book on tape by the Queer Eyes. Do you remember back, I don't know, the... God, it's in our recent history since we've stopped playing records.
Okay.
That there was a time when... I mean, now you can say anything. Fag, gay,
right.
Queer, whatever. But now, queer has worked its way all the way from... being an awful stereotype.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nasty word.
In the day, it was, you know, for a...
The gay community embraced the word, made it their own.
This will sound great. For a faggot, back in the day...
Right.
You call a faggot a queer, it would be like calling a brother the N-word.
Yeah, very, very bad. Words are words, and they change in meaning.
But now queer has become... Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what the gay community took the word queer and they made it their own. I mean, queer, you know, now you got that show, Queer as Folk.
And I say to all you queers that are out there listening right now, see, because back in the day if you said that, you would get...
Who are you calling a queer?
All you queers out there listening.
And, of course, before the gay community, it went from being a word that, you know, would describe things, what a very queer thing...
Yeah,
to being a very negative word,
like the Flintstones, they would have a gay old time.
Gay old time, gay queer.
When you were boys, as I was once, did you ever play the game Smear the Queer?
Yes, Rob, I did. I swear
what
to
is,
God.
What is Smear the Queer?
I just thought of it.
It's like a game.
A long time.
It's like a game of tag.
Right?
Yeah, but football,
whoever,
right?
Yeah, whoever.
You
the,
have to tackle whoever has
whoever
the ball.
The guy is that has the ball, you all the boys just pile on top of him.
Says Mirror the Queer.
Really?
I remember that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that in a long time.
Mike, it's a long...
Back East, we didn't do that.
And you could surrender the ball, and then they wouldn't tackle you
back
anymore.
Back East, we didn't have any of those parlor games you played down
here.
You were
playing football at the prison.
That's midget football.
You remember.
That's right.
Midget football over at the prison.
But hey,
and a guy said a very inappropriate thing around children that he should not have said. And I remember that to this day.
Calling all queers. You tell me what's happened to the jetpack.
Yes.
That's what I'd like to know from the game.
Amen.
What's happened to the jet?
What did that guy say about pleated pants, too? What the...
These aren't girly topics. They're human topics, people. And as we've seen on the show, once you open up guys' eyes to the wonders of hygiene management, bladder and wardrobe, and even perhaps some basic feng shui, they're excited to know more.
Are they?
Teach a man to fish, and pretty soon he'll be pairing that fish with a wild mushroom risotto and a crisp Pinot Grigio.
Queer.
A little zhuzh goes a long way.
Zhuzh?
Zhuzhing means taking something and tweaking it.
There it is,
fluffing
Mike.
It, nudging, or finessing it to be a little more fabulous and fun.
Okay, thanks, Queer.
Thank you.
Zhuzh is actually, I think, a Yiddish word, because my grandmother used to use it. It's like
zhuzhing it.
To, like, you know, manipulate something.
You seem to know an awful lot about all this these concepts.
That's right. I learned it when I was playing Smear the Queer.
Yes.
Shirtless.
About manscaping.
Mowing your lawns. If the hair on the top of your head is a canvas for glorious self-expression, the rest of your fuzz crop is best stifled and hidden away.
Oh, my.
What evil sprouts from the pits and pores of man? Most of what we talk about when we talk about good grooming has to do with getting in touch with the natural equilibrium of your body. You know, but when it comes to unwanted...
Which queer is this? Is he the one who's the lead queer, the guy that's on
the
all the award shows?
Yeah, his name Carson, I think.
Is it everybody? Is
they're
his name Carson queer?
He has body care.
Yes, I am.
The message is different. Practice manscaping. The hair down there. You can control it. Women go to great lengths to control it.
Let me say, don't worry about...
What is he saying to shave?
Yes, and don't worry about standards. This book on tape has been edited for our purposes, so we can...
So it's what he's saying that you're get rid of all of it?
Well, listen and hear the tip.
All right.
From the queer guy.
And you're a happier straight man for it. You knew this, right? For the most part, women trim it, they wax it, they do crazy things with strange names so that they can wear very, very tiny thongs.
Yes, they do.
So.
Yes, queer.
And I know this is touchy territory.
Yes.
Clean it up. This works on a case-by-case basis, and it's hard for me to make a precise prescription, but a lot of guys would do well for themselves if they trimmed.
Hard for me to make a case-by-case decision. Would you please drop your pants, Mr. O'Mara?
See what you need. Wow, queers. So
first
that's
of
what
all,
we're saying, huh?
Shorter hair makes everything around it look bigger. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Second, it's more attractive to women. You needn't go nude. And you shouldn't get too close. Use an electric shaver with a protective grill and go easy. The point isn't to draw attention to your workmanship, but to subtly reshape topiary for a cleaner, more presentable package.
Anyway, I've got like 2 hours worth of stuff.
All right, I'm going to try that then.
From the queer eyes. Hold on. Also, we've still not heard the tape yet of the guy on Jimmy Kimmel, the Tron guy. We're gonna wait, Jay Maynard. We're gonna wait until we get him on the telephone.
I wonder what he does.
something tells me that.
I don't think there's a chance.
You ever go by a lot somewhere and it looks like the people that owned the house died 5 years ago and that nothing's been cut.
Exactly.
Nothing's ever been cut.
That's Jay Maynard. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, hold on. A queer alert. Here's Cheryl, the big queer.
Hey.
Hi, honey. Hey, Cheryl,
Hi.
The big queer.
Yeah, I want to tell you that I trimmed down the low just because I want to wear my thongs. Yeah, I do my own kind of manscaping. I use a lawnmower. I have a dyke get in it and drive it over.
Oh, my
manicure.
God. Oh, boy.
I'm your queer. I'm your queer. I'm your feminine, well, not so feminine fag. I don't know.
Hey. Okay, here you go. Here's the sound.
Cheryl's
getting ready.
Oh, baby. Ow. Oh, God. Oh, God.
And then
that feels so good. You know, it sounds like something else I use on there sometimes.
Oh. Sometimes she gets an ingrown hair.
Yeah.
Only one way to take care of that.
Absolutely.
Get it out of there.
It takes a long, long time.
Well, you got to hit. And then, Mike, when that doesn't work,
yeah.
Here's what poor Cheryl the Big Dyke has to do.
What's that?
Now, that's the sound of the ice pick there, Cheryl.
Oh, I couldn't hear that. I thought I needed a post hole digger.
A post hole digger.
One of those jackhammers they use when they chop up the highway.
We have that too, Cheryl.
Yes, we've got all of yours, all of the sounds of Cheryl the Big Queer.
You've got your whole
hygiene.
Medicine cabinet.
You forgot the sound when I have to pull out one of those little black hairs out of my chin.
Oh, God.
Man.
All right. Goodbye. We love you. Goodbye, Cheryl.
Goodbye.
God. Just thinking of her in a thong is enough to make me start sweating.
I'm just thinking about her picking the hairs out of her chin.
Oh, you bet she does.
She's so vain.
Yeah,
I know. She probably thinks the song is about it.
Yeah.
And I would bet the sound effect is like a cartoon where it's like that.
Just thinking about her in that harness.
Brandon. Donna Mike Show. Brandon.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
This man's calling about jetpacks. Am I right, Brandon?
Yes, sir. I was watching something on Discovery, Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel a while back, and they were saying the reason jetpacks went out and are not being used is because they couldn't hold enough fuel for more than like a minute of flight.
We've heard that, but again, now we are in the 21st century.
Right.
You know, let's find a way. Let's find a way to make this happen. It was at Super Bowl I.
And also... Since Super Bowl I, we have, as a nation, have gotten fatter.
Yes,
so
we have.
It's going to take more fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a downward spiral.
Well, it's going to be controversial, but go nuclear. I think that's what we have to do. Nuclear-powered jetpacks. I mean, that's small enough, a fuel cell that will be able to power that. And, the only thing you do risk something like burning through the jetpack and burning through your chest.
Mike, that's why they call me an adrenaline junkie.
There you go.
That's why.
You take the chance.
I do it.
You know, with jetpacks, as much as I have a fear of flying, I'm with you on the jetpacks. I'm totally down with the jetpacks.
I'd seen it when I was a kid live, and I've seen the tape since. And last night on the NFL channel, it was just one brief moment.
And it was the one that, he had the two little handles. Yeah.
Yeah, he had the two little, like...
He was wearing a white suit, right? He looked like spaceman.
Yeah, he had an astronaut suit on, but with, like, an Evel Knievel helmet.
He was a little guy, though. Remember that? He was a little lightweight guy.
And he had the thing hooked onto his back, and he had the two little, almost like buttons, like you push the buzz in on Jeopardy.
Right, exactly.
And he was flying.
He was moving him around.
It would go left, and it would go right.
I'm wondering, they had also a jetpack on Gilligan's Island once. And I'm wondering, I think that might have been pretty... No, but it was
a serious discussion.
I know, we're very serious about
discussion.
Jetpack.
We are about jet. I am about jetpack.
But there was real footage. It was like stock footage. So
get out of here.
True.
Get out of here. I know we're up on a break, but I've got so many tapes that I want to play you. Let me just... We've got a lot of those Queer Eye tapes to get to.
Right.
We've got some new Scott Shannon tapes to get to.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Tron guy on Jimmy Kimmel tapes.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that yet.
To get to. We're going to wait for him to call. Mike, also we've got something brand new from an artist that we've not heard from in almost 30 years.
Wow.
And he had a number one record, I think it was in 75?
That sounds right.
75, 76.
C.W. McCall?
Yeah, Breaker 1-9, this here's a rubber duck.
That's right.
I'm a big fan.
You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on.
Anybody back in the day might remember this.
Big Ben, for sure.
See, this is one of those songs that I'm talking about with the 70s.
Down, come on.
I think most people, if you went to them and said, do you remember the song Convoy? They go, oh, that song sucks. And they're right, the song sucks.
Right.
But, hey, who were the 5 million people that bought the copy of the record back in 1975?
Everybody knew this song.
Yes.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June.
I mean, it does suck.
Hauling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs.
Anyway, this guy, C.W. McCall.
That's an alias, though. I mean, his real name. His real name is Wendell Hall.
And I'm about to put the hammer down.
That's when CBs were popular.
So yeah, did you have a CB?
I had a CB. Sure I did. Everybody did.
Yeah.
Mike, he's gotten together with, if there's ever been a perfect pairing.
The Late Eddie Rabbit?
No, even better. Now, that in rock and roll heaven, Mike.
Yeah.
He's gotten together with Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, bravo. Really?
Listen, this is not a bit
This has got to be a real deal here.
Mannheim Steamroller, C.W. McCall redoing Convoy.
All right, well, that's good.
I am not kidding.
Breaker 1-9, this here's Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Oh, yeah, 10-4, Big
Ben. Is the new one?
For sure, for
yes,
sure.
It is.
Golly, it's clean, clear to
that's
play.
The same as the old one.
Oh, it's a little more fuller. As you hear, it's got the whole Mannheim. Yeah, right.
Sounds older.
This is ridiculous. When I see,
was it dark at the moon on the 6th of June in a kennel?
And I'm watching, like, A&E, and I see Three Dog Night performing with the Nashville Symphony Orchestra.
I know.
It's like, okay, it's an orchestra. It's Three Dog Night. They're singing Joint of the World.
Stop it. You want to say stop it.
Here we go.
All right. We are not impressed.
No, we're not. Give me that thing. What else is on this thing?
Oh, I'm sure they're all great.
Mannheim Steamroller?
Mannheim Steamroller? It didn't sound even Mannheim Steamroller-y.
Well, hold on. Let's see. What is this one?
This one is
Here's something called American Spirit.
Oh, okay.
American Spirit by the Mannheim Steamroller. But on the cover of this
thing. How about
thing,
them fireworks? Pretty cool, huh?
Is that CW?
You ever wonder why we shoot them off?
But you can say, on the cover of this, you'll notice it says Mannheim Steamroller, CW McCall. He's on every song. Not just on Convoy.
You ever know why we shoot them all?
Oh, come on.
The 4th? It's because we're celebrating our freedom. And it's because we're Americans.
Oh.
And it's our birthday. The first three words of the Constitution.
And Pat Tillman would have loved this album.
The people are celebrating.
So if you're a fan of the National Football League, if you're a fan of America,
see, we are the.
If you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals,
and we're the Star Spangled
Banner. Well, get your ass over to eBay and buy your number 40 Arizona Cardinals jersey there, good buddy.
The song, this entire album should be entitled C.W. McCall Ran Out of Money.
Say to our flag, old stars and stripes.
No, I think it should be Mannheim Steamroller Ran Out of Money, because we knew C.W. McCall ran out of money.
Yeah, but Mannheim Steamroller makes money every holiday. I mean, they make tons of money.
Exactly, so they must have run out. What are they doing with him?
I don't get it.
I mean, I
don't put them together.
I can see Mannheim Steamroller saying, okay, we're only known for the so let's get some American stuff.
This is C.W. McCall. All my dollars is gone.
Hello. This is Mannheim Steamroller. All my dollars is gone as well.
Let's team up and make a nice record.
Say.
We'll do something, you know, America. That's popular now.
Would ye like to do your spoken word with our Mannheim Steamroller?
All right.
Are you familiar with our big hit?
Nope.
Let me give you a refresher.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, same Christmas thing.
Dun, 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 dun.
Don't you know, use those synthetizers to make your music?
Yes, we do that? That's right, the synthetizers. Yes.
We'll do a. And can I remake Convoy? I ain't going to do it if I can't remake Convoy.
Of course you can.
Well, let me do it then.
What is it that Dr. Caper said yesterday?
Pepper Traders.
As soon as we find the Pepper Traders, we'll put this album out. And once we get the record out, we're going to send it to the Don and Mike Show.
You know, it'll be amazing if we put that record out. Nobody will believe that C.W. McCall and Mannheim Steamroller hooked up for a record. You know, because people think it's just too stupid.
I must tell you, before you come to meet our friends at the club, you simply must bathe. Mr. McCall.
Sorry, I was in a Jimmy hauling hogs.
After all, we are the Mannheim Steamroller.
I'll bring all you guys out to my farm and we can do some hog dogging.
Now, hold on a second. If this guy's right, then we are going to be so trumped on this. If this guy's right. Richard?
Yeah?
Don't run from your feelings. Don't hide from feelings. Richard, is it what you say it and then let's debate if it's true or not.
C.W. Call is Mannheim Steamroller. He's the same guy that has done every Mannheim Steamroller record.
C.W. McCall is Mannheim Steamroller?
Yep.
This is a huge bulletin.
Hold on, we do have a Mannheim Steamroller.
Buzz, what do you think about that?
Christmas album.
I'll look into that.
Ross going to find the CD for us now. If that's the case, you're a big winner.
Where did you get this info?
quite frankly, I heard him interviewed on Rush Limbaugh's show years ago.
And C.W. McCall is Mannheim Steamroller.
Yes, the same guy did both things.
You mean the guy with the dun da dun 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 dun?
Exactly, believe it or not.
You mean this guy?
Four there.
1-9, this is Rubber Duck.
One and the same.
Big fan, come on.
I thought that Mannheim Steamroller was a bunch of classical musicians.
I thought they were a bunch of pretentious.
He is the leader of that band, and he is the one that writes the music.
I have totally newfound respect for C.W. McCall.
Rob's got some book. Rob, what did you find out?
I know, it's just a brief bio. They're still working on it in the back. But according to this, his real name is William Fries. And the only thing they've added to it is that he was a mayor in Colorado in the early 80s. No mention of him being in the Mannheim Steamroller.
Are you pulling our leg?
I stake my reputation on it.
Well, you know how important that is.
All right, well, we can't verify it. Call back some other time.
Well, what
you're right.
I do now is look under Mannheim Steamroller and see if...
They've never charted a record, I don't think.
Hey, Buzz, why don't you just go on the web?
I'll look into that.
All right.
I'm not feeling well.
What's wrong?
I'm a little under the weather. You should see my shower.
How things go in the shower?
Nice.
www.mannheim.
Yes.
mannheimsteamroller.com. Let's see if they got a website. mannheimsteamroller.com.
Let's see if CW will call.
No. Hold on. www.google. .com.
I just don't see it. I don't put them together.
Hold on. Let me do a Google search on C.W. McCall. Search results for Google. Yes. I don't want to stop. What is this?
What did they do under you?
The problem with every computer in this building. I put Google in, and it says you can start your search for Google here, but first there are ads for pop-up stopper.
Come on.
I just want to go to Google. Eat me, Yogi. Y-O-O-G-E-E. That's the website that was slowing me down. Okay, here we go. C.W. McCall. Okay. Hello, Google. C.
What, you have something, Rob?
I got
A-L-L.
I would think it would have been mentioned in this, but I bet you didn't know that C.W. McCall was a character created to sponsor a bread company.
Hold on. I got the legend of C.W. McCall. This is on a Google search. Give me a fact. I feel like Buzz here with the computer.
C.W. McCall was a fake name that he used.
Yeah, his name was Bill Fries.
Yeah.
Bill Fries. Now, F-R-I-E-S?
Like French fries.
Like French fries. You know, I can't find anything, though, that lists him. There are...
But if there's a credit for, like, Bill Fries or Fries with Mannheim Steamroller...
Hold on, Mike. Hold on.
Who is C.W. McCall?
Hold on. C.W. McCall's popularity reached the peak in January 1976 when Convoy reached the number one position. His last album to be released was 1990's Real McCall, an American Storyteller. Let me go down... Nothing. I got nothing says Mannheim Steamroller.
Then he focused on his magazine, right?
Got nothing. And, you know, I'm on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There were 10 Google searches. None
right,
of them.
Here's what I think. I think, really? Of course, you did a Google search on Mannheim Steamroller, too.
Yep.
Check for Bill Fries.
Hold on.
William Fries.
Let me do Mannheim Steamroller.
What's he listed in the search? Is it William or Bill?
Well, I've seen it both ways.
All right.
In different sources.
S-D-E-A-M.
Or Mr.
R-O-L-L. Hey, can you be closed, Batman? All right, now I'm doing a...
Ah!
God. Did you mean Mannheim Stage Moeller? No, come on.
Stage Moeller?
Well, Ron, I'm typing as fast as I can.
That's the tribute band.
S-D-E-A-M.
They're good.
R-O-L-L.
Mannheim Mania.
Okay, yes. Mannheim Steamroller.
It's a big guy dressed as a tooth.
CD reviews.
I am Mannheim Stage Moeller.
But he'd be German, wouldn't he?
Right.
You know, a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing is ways to buy Mannheim Steamroller.
Well,
stuff.
That's the internet right there.
Yeah.
Why get information?
There's nothing that says, well, you know what? I don't know. Sir, no one.
I think this man's lying then.
I'm sorry if you're right.
My assertion.
Call back for that brand new automobile.
How did you possibly get your information?
I heard him interviewed.
Oh, you heard him interviewed.
Right, we heard that on Rush Limbaugh.
Our staff right now going batty.
All right, thank you. Rob, you have more information?
Okay, this is I don't know what Joe just handed.
I know. Joe's big on handing. Joe handed you like 70 papers. Something's in here.
IMDb has the composer for Mannheim Steamroller as Chip Davis, who also wrote the song Convoy. So perhaps this guy's thinking of Chip Davis, who did not sing Convoy, but wrote it. And is in Mannheim.
But wait a minute. Wait. Now, hold on a second. We're getting somewhere. The guy that is the composer for Mannheim Steamroller wrote Convoy.
Yes.
That may be as far as it goes.
Yeah, it might be. But
I think he performed it also.
But wait, we have a connection.
For sure. By golly.
Chip Davis was born in Ohio in 1947.
He has a big
10. That's all I have. That's it. I just thought that maybe that would...
But there's a connection between Mannheim Steamroller and C.W. McCall, obviously.
Obviously, on some level.
Right.
So... Okay, thank you, sir. Listen, you've stumped a panel of experts here. What is your name?
Richard.
Dick, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Baltimore. I live in Westminster, though.
All right, my friend, I'll give you your choice. You can go see Styx and Peter Frampton or Van Halen. Which would you like?
Give me the Van Halen.
Or how about Kiss with Poison?
Yuck.
Okay, Van Halen. Congratulations. Hey. You have won a pair of tickets to see Van Halen.
You have won.
Live in concert at the MCI Center, Friday, June 25. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster Outlets. Ticketmaster.com. Enjoy Van Halen.
How do I get it?
Hold on just a second. C.W. McCall will send it to you. Hold on a second. How about that? C.W. McCall. Well, that would be why he has a new album out with the Mannheim Steamroller. That would be why.
Is Chip Davis C.W. McCall?
No.
No, Chip Davis is the guy that wrote Convoy, right?
Well, I think also...
He's got composer Phil Meyer. He's got Mannheim Steamroller, Christmas Live, 1997, Convoy, 1978.
You know what I bet? I bet that McCall and Davis... contributed both to Convoy.
Hold on. Let me go back to that original C.W. McCall song.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Let's see what that shows. M.C.A.L.L. C.W. McCall. Google search. Here we go. Yes, I meant C.W. McCall. Oh, let's see. Yeah. God.
Didn't you meet him once, Mike?
C.W. McCall?
Yeah.
I lived with him, bro.
Are you Chip Davis?
Yeah. I'm actually Bill Fries.
Fries.
C.W. McCall web pages. Here we go.
He has more than one?
America's greatest storyteller.
Yes.
Let's see if it says anything. Well, folks, this is it. The World Wide Web, second site, celebrating the work of C.W. McCall. It's been in the making since before there was an internet, blah, 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 four-wheel cowboy. Oh, anyway, you found us, so ease back. Stretch that clicker finger a time or two and enjoy what we've put together for you.
For you.
Okay, here are the categories, Mike. What's new? C.W. McWho. Should we go there?
Yeah, C.W. McWho.
C.W. McWho.
And incidentally, Chip Davis' real name is Lewis Davis.
The real C. Just who is C.W. McCall? He's not the Rhinestone Cowboy. Hold on a second.
Did they make that small?
C.W. McCall is the greatest natural born storyteller of all time.
Okay, so you know what it is.
Hold on. Got the answer.
Oh!
November 15, 1928. In Iowa, born Billy Dale Fries.
Ah.
Billy Fries is C.W. McCall.
And this just in from the Joe News Network, Convoy was co-written by Bill Fries and Chip Davis. So, they're not the same person.
But C.W. McCall is Bill Fries.
Yes.
But Chip Davis
but we still do not have
person.
The... Do we have any... is there any confirmation that Bill Fries... has anything to do with Mannheim Steamroller outside of that other guy, you know, writing the song?
I'm willing to say no. I've seen what I need to see.
Let me see. I'm looking in the booklet that comes along with the Mannheim Steamroller thing. Where are the credits on this thing?
How about the members of the group Mannheim Steamroller?
What if Steamroller doesn't really exist? What if it's just like one session music?
And who is Lewis Davis Jr.? Boy, I can't.
Who's in the Rat Pack?
Jesus. You know what I figured out?
What?
God damn. I need reading glasses.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Do you really need specs?
Yes, I do.
But you had laser surgery.
I did, but obviously it's gone bad. Jesus. I mean, is it me?
Let me see it.
Take a look.
Is it three?
I can't read the stuff in the left-hand column. Okay. The names?
Yeah, it's not so bad.
We'll read out loud, boy.
Recording studio and location recording.
Shut up.
Mannheim Steamroller. Hey, how about this? No. Mannheim Steamroller Symphony conducted by...
Yes.
Chip Davis!
Ah! So, Chip Davis, who is not C.W. McCall,
right,
but co-wrote Convoy.
And that guy obviously didn't listen.
Gotcha.
And C.W. McCall probably said, that's Chip Davis, he formed Mannheim Steamroller.
There you go, which is why C.W. McCall...
And so anybody tells me anything, I'm not going to think that Bill Fries had anything to do with Mannheim Steamroller. But Chip Davis had a lot to do with C.W. McCall.
The single American spirit, composed by Chip Davis, words by Bill Fries.
Right. Also known as C.W. McCall.
Right.
We need to get the information as to who is in Mannheim Steamroller.
Name
besides
an
Chip Davis.
I can give you the whole orchestra. I got it right here.
All right, go. Who's in it? Are they people or instruments?
They are people divided by instruments.
Isn't it? It's a group, right? I mean,
it is.
When I've seen their videos, which I love, incidentally.
Oh, God.
You know, don't they have, like, a guy with a cello and stuff like
yes,
that?
The cello player.
I thought it was all done, like, with a computer. Like with
it is. It's computer generated, but they have an actual, you know.
They recorded with the Chicago Symphony Chorus, but if you're interested in their horn group, you're looking at Dale Clevener, Otto Carrillo, right. Greg Flint, and Melanie Cottle.
Now I'm getting a headache.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Rob. Listen, I think we've solved that. Whatever it was that we set out to try to solve.
I believe there is no connection between C.W. McCall and Mannheim Steamroller.
Well, I would beg to differ.
No, I mean, there is no, that he has nothing to do with Mannheim Steamroller.
Except he's on their new CD.
Right now.
And he wrote the lyrics for Tintype.
What is Tintype?
It's another song on the album.
Okay. Yes, C.W. McCall is connected to Mannheim.
He's connected, but he never performed in the Mannheim Steamroller.
Well, no, he is, though, now in the new one.
That's right. And you're
no, but it's Mannheim Steamroller with C.W. McCall.
So he is performing with Mannheim Steamroller.
But not in the... Yes, John. Yes, John. John, help us out here. This is honest to God.
I was just talking to Chris Owens, and he said that Mannheim Steamroller came out of the original C.W. McCall Convoy. They were the backup singers, and then they did their own thing and became Mannheim Steamroller.
Without Bill Fries.
Mike, why you got it so bad for Bill Fries?
Because I believe that you gentlemen are not finding the logic of this argument to its natural conclusion.
Can I tell you something?
The caller called in.
Can I just say something? I swear to God.
What?
I really have forgotten what we're arguing about.
Let me get you back on the track here, okay? What the caller said is that C.W. McCall...
Was in... Mannheim Steamroller?
Was in Mannheim Steamroller. And that's really not true.
But maybe saying C.W. McCall in the Mannheim Steamroller is like saying Diana Ross in the Supremes. They're...
All right, step away from the microphone.
Get out of here.
Right now.
Come on.
Far away from it.
America's favorite storyteller, Mike.
Come on, get out of here. All right, anyway, goddamn. Oh, when they ask what happened with today's show, tell them that this is what happened with today's show, okay? Everything was just fine.
I think we've solved it.
Until we started talking about, this crap.
Breaker 1-9, this is Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on.
Big Ben 4.
Mike,
yeah, drive off the next hill.
For sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on.
It's Mannheim Steamroller. Yeah, come over.
And this would be another one of your songs, though. Just to add another little wrinkle into this story.
Yes.
This would be another one of your songs, which sounds like it's got a bad word in it. We're going to roll that trucking convoy.
Yeah, right. And that was another urban rumor that he actually, like I thought in YMCA, the guy said the F word, same thing in convoy.
And I believe during the time we've been on the air, there was a day we took that CW song and played it again and again.
We did over. We couldn't do that now.
No, we could.
Put the hammer down.
Well, here's the Mannheim Steamroller.
You know what? That sounds Mannheim Steamroller.
It does.
Okay. We must break.
Oh yes, useless information.
Let's see. Hold on. The people at Michelob just called and said that's the greatest segment. Run our commercial first.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jeff and John, we appreciate it. Good luck to you, and maybe we'll check in with you as the 129 days tick off.
Please.
Yep.
Thanks.
See you, Don and Mike.
Okay.
Dude! Two members of the Seattle Star Wars Society are giving new meaning to the term diehard fan. They kicked off the new year by getting in line for Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, 4.5 months before the May 16th release of the film. John Guth and Jeff Twyton, I think it is, are outside Cinerama in Seattle, Washington, waiting. John and Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm trying to
Hi,
do...
Hi, John and Mike.
Oh, John and Mike Show.
Hello.
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 Very nice.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You call up Joseph.
Hello.
There you go.
Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
Rob is still trying to call Jay Maynard, the Tron guy.
Yeah, he's supposedly traveling between Los Angeles and Minnesota.
Found and exploding now on the scene, discovered on the Don and Mike Show via the internet.
Bigger than William Hung.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. We've still got the tape. We want to review it with him. We'll wait for him to call in. Tomorrow, May 5, and tomorrow we'll be celebrating Mr. 40's coming in tomorrow for a little something he wants to call Cinco de Negro.
Oh, really?
That's on tomorrow.
All right, very interesting.
On tomorrow's episode.
Negro de Mayo.
Oh, excuse me. It's not Cinco de Negro, it's Negro de Mayo.
And he didn't name it. Oh. Joe named it.
Joe? Hold on a second.
Wait, now, wait a minute.
Hold on. I'm getting this.
We'll find out if he minds it.
I don't think he does. I said it to him.
Now, see.
I figured you'd be involved in that.
See, I know that
I never coined that.
I know you had talked to Mr. 40 about it, though, right?
Yeah, I said that he was coming in for that. And he said, right.
And what are you doing with your watch?
You had mentioned the date, and I was a little behind on my date. You
gotcha. Listen to this before we get to some stuff that I've selected I want to talk to you about. Oh, the Bill O'Reilly moment. Bill O'Reilly moment deserves an extra airing. Today he said something really smart on his radio show.
I want food. Uh-huh. I want beer.
Yeah.
I want porn movies.
Yeah.
I want internet games. Yeah. I want to cut people's heads off.
Right. That's a direct quote. Bill O'Reilly from his radio show, Today.
Words of wisdom from Bill O'Reilly.
Let's see. Is Alex Jimenez around?
Jefe?
Alex
Jimenez? Otherwise known as El Jefe.
Alex Jimenez is a boy that works here.
A boy. A boy that's been given a wonderful, wonderful new opportunity.
He's a boy that's been working on our show behind the scenes since we've had some people leave the show. And Alex Jimenez.
Here he comes, El Jefe.
Alex Jimenez, everybody.
There he is. Let's give him a nice round of
Here's
applause.
Alex Jimenez. Now,
Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys.
I cannot believe this memo. To all from Cameron.
Listen to this.
I want to let everyone know that Alex has been hired as a full-time employee.
Wow.
Really? He has been with us part-time for over a year and worked pretty much with every show here. Currently, he's helping out while we search a new producer for Don and Mike. He does great production and fills in for John Norman. He's even hosted Tech Talk.
This is so exciting. He will now be entitled to limited medical benefits. Great.
Starting last night, his show, The Weekend Show, now is heard every weeknight at 11 on WJFK. So, Alex Jimenez, now my friend.
Now, give it a plug. The show is?
The show is called The Hideout.
The Hideout.
The Hideout.
With El Jefe and J-Dubs.
You might wonder why that's the name. I happen to know the name of that. The reason the show is called The Hideout is because the show is staffed entirely by convicted felons.
So this would be why when we were at the ratings party the other night when you sat down and you said, hey, would you like to mentor? Would you mentor me? Would you mentor me?
All right, hold on a second. I'll be perfectly honest.
So you knew you were going to get this gig, and like you're setting me up. It's fine. It's fine with me.
No, I will say this first of all. Thank you so much to you guys, period. Because when I came in here, I got hired to run Best of Don and Mike. Charlie taught me.
Was that your first job here to run the Best of Show?
Yes,
okay.
It was.
All right.
He's an almost American success story.
That's incredible.
I've learned a ton so far.
Oh, man. And are you a legitimate minority?
Yes, I am full-blood Chicano, Mexican-American.
Oh, man, right. That makes it look so good around here. I mean, really, they'll be off our backs for months now.
You know what you are, Alex? You're the EEO hire of the week.
But you know what? I'll take it.
Are you fluent in Spanish?
Not at all.
And this word of advice to every employee.
lock your hubcaps. And if you're like me, you might want to think about not bringing that ride in with the new rims on.
Well, explain this whole mentoring thing. What's this about?
Well, he says this to me. I didn't even mention it on the air. He says this to me at the ratings party the other night when we were sitting at the bar.
Right. That he wants you to mentor him.
Yes.
Other people have come to you with that type of... Did he use the word mentor?
That's his word, not mine. Really?
All right, here's the thing. I wanted to do this a while back.
You want him to go play basketball with you on the weekend or something?
I'm looking for a father figure, I'm not going to lie. I play in a baseball league. I need someone to play catch with to get the arm going. I'm okay with that.
Okay, very good.
But no, my thing is I really wanted to ask you guys for a while, but I don't ever like approaching you at work. You're busy, you're doing a great
job. Well, you're here every day, Alex Jimenez.
I know.
Well, you know, I'm not qualified for that. You know, I mean, if I was, and even if you thought I was, you know, he's the guy. He's the radio guy.
Blown off already.
No, I'm not being blown. No, seriously, I don't have the time to waste with that.
Mike will be your best buddy.
I'll be your friend.
Okay.
I've got strategies. I have strategies that will help you survive in this business. And my strategies are, I could write a book with coping mechanisms.
So here's what I'm thinking, Alex.
I could mentor you in food service.
There you go. That would be good.
Oh, my God.
I think you probably have a lot of Alex's relatives working at your restaurant.
We do. However, Alex...
Look around, Cafe.
Alex, with the limited language ability, I
that hasn't stopped you with some of the other people.
No, I want him to be bilingual. Do you understand? You understand.
Come learn Spanish in the kitchen?
Yeah, if you go to my kitchen, you can learn Spanish. Absolutely.
I went there the other night to O'Mara's Pub.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a plug there.
Thank you. Look around,
very
Cafe.
Kind of you.
And there was a boat from Cuba that was pulling up to the back door. And they all said, where's Mr. Mike?
Hello, my friend.
Mr. Mike has promised us a job.
And it's a wonderful outfit I wear the entire white suit and a big Panama hat. I said, greetings, my friends.
So, Alex Jimenez, let me ask you. So, when you came to me last Thursday, and I was humbled, I said, I love radio. I love you have a passion for radio. Let's rap about radio whenever you like. Did you know that you had a full-time job?
Technically, I've been teased with this for a while. I mean, you know how it is around here. Coming soon, wheels are in motion, hey pal, wheels, that kind of stuff.
How long has the process lasted before they started throwing you that carrot, teasing you with that carrot?
7-8 months, that kind of thing. Yeah, seriously.
It's about the right speed.
It'll happen around Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas.
Have you given any thought whatsoever as a tribute to old showbiz legends to changing your first name to Jose?
Do you even know who Jose Jimenez is?
Name sounds...
He's a very talented man who used to speak with his hand. I thought he was your dad.
No, not the same guy.
Oh, it's not mine?
That's Senior Wince.
Oh! Winston.
Jose Jimenez is Bill Damon.
I'm so busted.
Line 1, Infinity Broadcast.
There we go.
Of course, he's never around.
Where is he?
I'm unavailable,
he's
right?
He's never around.
Just leave your name, number, and a brief message.
Let me call him on his... Yeah, this is important stuff. It's a lineup change on WJFK.
New full-timer.
And frankly, let's make sure Alan knows, because Cameron... And how about Cameron Gray's handwriting?
What is the deal with
that? Check that out.
That's like Shakes the Clown.
It's like palsy.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice.
Alan, line 1.
Hi.
Alan.
Alan. Line 1.
Alan, line 1.
Alan, line 1.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Oh, come on. Just give the message. Yeah. Hey, Alan, it's Don and Mike. We're here with Alex Jimenez.
Jefe.
And he wants more money.
Already.
He wants more money.
Apparently, you kind of rushed this by him and he didn't have time to think about it. We were chatting with him about the salary requirements and he has seen the light and he requires more cash. And also of just a limited signing bonus.
And really, now, do you have benefits as long as you're on Alan's answering machine?
To be perfectly honest, I don't think so.
You mean now that you've been hired, they're not going to give you benefits?
I don't
That's
know.
That's the whole
Welcome
deal,
to Infinity.
It?
No, Infinity hires people. Here now, expert witness from Rob Spiewak.
As I recall, when I was brought on full-time, the benefits kick in like after 6 or 8 months.
Oh, sorry about that.
You can take vacation, too. I can't even take a day off, I don't think.
No, not for a while. But you won't want to, because this is a fun place to work.
Anyway, congratulations, Alex.
Thank you.
Goodbye, line wand. How did your first show go last night?
Honestly, I was dead-ass tired, because I get here at about 1
o'clock. Yeah, you were here all day yesterday,
and
right?
And so I'm trying to pace myself. It is okay. But you know what? The first thing, great analogy that I learned from Don here. And I never thought about it, and that is that radio is like baseball. Mm-hmm. And you can't focus on the past. You're always looking ahead. You always get to do it another day.
That's what I told him.
And
I tell that to Mike.
And that's what I told Dubs yesterday.
I tell everybody that.
Wasn't a great show, but we get to try again tonight.
And what's the other thing I told you? What are you going to do with the internet?
Don't look at it.
Yeah, don't read it.
Don't look at it. And after knowing I had a mediocre show, I didn't even touch it today.
Don't look at it. That's the other thing. He says to me, how do you handle the internet? I said, how do I handle it? I don't look at it.
Oh, the internet is the internet is nuts. I mean, absolutely nuts. I mean, with this business and what's out there,
I mean
it's the land of the scary unwashed.
With no offense to those who listen to our show and go to message boards or go to sites or whatever, you know, y'all scare me. Y'all scare me. You need to get a life. So, Alex, that's what I'd say. Speak your mind. Watch out about the thing. Remember, it's like baseball. You're always there. And the other guy. No, the dumb guy. He's not full time. He's not full time.
Jay Dubs is your.
No, he actually has been. He's full time too.
Uh-huh. And he's on with you every night, right?
Yes, we're on at 11.
Now, does he get the same cherry gig as you, a full time with no benefits?
I believe so. And somehow I get more than him.
Now, why he wasn't mentioned yet in the press release? I see. So
I think it's a little bit later on. Congratulations.
It's a little later on. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
very
don't
good.
Don't worry about him.
Keeping him down. That's very important. You know, you must do that.
It's not equal billing like Dynamite. It's Hefe.
There you go. That's
okay. Very good.
I'm just kidding.
Right. No. Come on. Let him know. Let him know.
We've spoken with J Dubs. He, you know. A little challenged, right? Just a little bit, you know, maybe.
Work it to your advantage.
Backwoods of Michigan kind of challenge.
Yeah, backwoods of Michigan. That's fine. That's fine. You'll have a fine time.
So, wow, listen, 2 hours. How are you gonna manage to fill that every night?
I have no idea.
2 big hours. Wow, the station is really getting behind you. Yeah!
Are you a married guy, Alex? Are you a married guy? A girlfriend? Anything like that?
Separated.
You're separated?
We really believe you're the future of the station. Please enjoy 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Jesus. It's like our time shift in Dallas.
Yeah, really. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, good luck.
In fact, I think there was a complaint call on Sporting News last night, the Rick Belew show. People are already bitching that we've taken over Sporting News.
Because the station used to run the Sporting News Network,
well,
I guess.
Hey, that's good. Complaints are good. He'll tell you that also.
There you
complaints
go.
Are very good. Good luck, Hefe.
All right, Alex. Alex Jimenez.
Alex Jimenez.
There he is.
There's his music. Wonderful. It all happened when he shaved his head. Anyway.
And he got better for him. What is this? What else does this thing say? We're moving his show from Saturday nights to every weeknight. Well, that's good for him. The show has grown so much since we tried it out. I hope this provides new us. Oh, God. He's doomed.
What happened?
The memo says, I hope this provides new sales, sponsorship, and more remote broadcast opportunities for the station.
Oh, that's the whole thing.
That's the worst, Alex. They're going to put you out somewhere. You're going to be sitting at a... Tell Rob.
Get ready to deal with drunks.
You're going to be at a track auto somewhere, and the microphone ain't going to work, and the salesperson's not going
to
be...
No, you know what they'll be doing? It sounds like to me like they want to do it during that time.
Yeah.
So get ready for the bar circuit. I love bars, though.
Put them out of track auto.
Yeah.
11 at night.
11 at night.
You
well, we're out here.
Plugs?
I think I just saw a mouse.
Hey, you might want to think about changing the name of that show. I like this. Burrito Rock and Roll.
Oh,
Burrito Rock and Roll! For Alex Jimenez.
I think it's a good idea.
Anyway, congratulations. There's a guy working his way up the ladder.
Always nice to see somebody come out of the farm system.
Proud about that. Welcome, welcome, welcome,
welcome,
welcome, welcome, welcome, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Are you going to continue to mentor him?
I've not started to mentor him.
Oh, yeah.
That was our first session.
So he hasn't gone through the initiation yet.
Oh, man.
It's nay on the anking spay.
Exactly.
It's nay.
Ant K, it's a ounde.
Oh, ouchie.
Eeksway.
Ainpays Udgay. Hello, hey, Alex, hey. And if you want me to mentor you, that's one other thing, Alex. We must constantly speak to each other in Pig Latin.
Yeah, that's the way it's done, and it just makes the brain sharper.
Even if you're going to email me, you must email everything in Pig Latin. And don't forget, Rob loves this, eBay in Pig Latin is...
B.
B.
B is eBay and Pig Latin.
Oh, B is eBay and Pig Latin.
That's the way it is.
eBay was eBay.
okay, let me see where I'm at. We got a break. We got a guy coming up. We're going to move him to the next break. Let's not do him next.
Okay.
I want to just, when we come back, we got so much today. We're giving away a trip to Los Angeles. We're going to be playing a game. We've got the spotlight on Buffalo coming up.
Right.
But right after this break, finally, Mike, I just want to say for anybody out there who dreams of being in show business, anybody like myself with a dream and a letter writing campaign, it's proof that they do read letters at the networks and that they do take suggestions from regular viewers like yours truly.
That's good. When are you going to mention the CVFB?
What's the CVFB?
The Candlelight Vigil for Buzz. Come on. Come on, work with me here. Please.
Put it right after Cinco de Negro.
Okay.
Negro de Mayo.
Right.
Okay, so Negro de Mayo.
Whatever he agreed to.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Helen Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
Show me the money.
Helen Line 1 is not available right now. If you haven't received your prize, hand over and kiss your ass goodbye. Half off from Infinity Radio.
The Don and Mike Show.
Show me the money.
Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass. The Don and Mike Show.
Howdy. Hi. Okay, I promised you that I would tell you about this. It's a letter writing campaign.
A lot of letter writing.
I started it. It's a one-person letter writing campaign.
All right.
I wrote under many different assumed names.
Nom de plume.
But finally, and all of them, Mike, nom bleu. Nom de plume and nom bleu. Finally, I'll just read you the headline, and then you'll know why I'm happy.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell signs with CBS. Now, you might say, what's great about that? Why are you happy about that?
Why are you happy about that?
And her first major screen commitment since the end of her daytime talk show. Rosie O'Donnell will play a retarded woman in an original movie for CBS called Riding the Bus with My Sister.
Oh, my.
Now, I want to say, Ro, you've made a lot of bad career choices.
Right.
You quit your show because you got too political.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the Hitler haircut going, and
right,
you became very butch, and you became, you know, I mean, we'll tolerate you being uppity. We'll tolerate you getting into your causes and everything, and having a reason that you think to fill time broadcasting.
Yes, you got to mention the magazine, too.
And your failed magazine.
Yes, the ill-fated magazine.
No matter what you did, you loved getting on a soapbox, and you loved just screaming about things that interested you and your infected finger. And look what America did. They threw you off television, and now we have a really funny lesbian on in the day,
right?
And her name is Ellen DeGenital,
who in arguably one of the funniest people on television right now.
However, Rosie, I want to say, I can't tell you how many letters I've written to CBS saying, please bring her back.
Bring her back.
But only if she can play a retard. And CBS has finally taken me at my word, all my letter writings. It's based on a book. This movie's called Riding the Bus with My Sister. Rosie O'Donnell says it's like a female Rain Man.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is really what we need. Anyway, that's the sign that they're looking.
She'll be the Rain Man character, obviously.
She's the tard.
Uh-huh.
And she rides on the bus with her sister on CBS, and I say, yeah!
You're delighted she's back in the fold.
There you go. So to speak. Not to be confused with her many folds.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to think about those folds.
But I don't think that there's going to be a lot of, she's not going to be having to go to, you know, do the, like, you hear an actor say, I'm going to be playing a detective in my next movie, so I have to go out in the field.
Some research the detective.
I don't think she's going to be going to a rubber room anytime to spend time with TARD.
With trainables?
I think that she's got it down.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she'll just wing it. Because that would require too much work to do it the other way.
And she can do it.
She'll totally wing it.
It's the easiest thing in the world.
She'll probably watch Rain Man.
I love the bus. I love the bus.
That's it. She's done.
I love the bus. Actually, she auditioned originally for the part of the bus.
Maybe she could play both.
Does John McDee have a part?
and the McDLT.
Don McDLT, McDLT.
You know, he was a good man. He was caught in the fallout, Rob.
Was he?
Yeah, he didn't deserve that.
Oh, and also, Mike, we forgot also her ill-fated, the Taboo, the George O'Dowd musical.
Oh, yes, absolutely,
George.
Right.
Boy George.
Yeah, which, what did it last, about 3 minutes on Broadway?
Bad career choice after bad career choice. She is now following the same path as Kirstie Alley.
Yes.
Who is a totally straight woman, is not as politically involved as Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
But the same thing happened to Kirstie Alley.
They, you know, and what's sad in the tabloids is when you see them bring out a picture from a million years ago of Kirstie Alley.
Not from a million years ago, from 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
When she was auditioning for Cheers.
And you see that picture of her, and then you see the...
Her now.
Oh, it's so sad.
But she played a retarded woman on TV.
Yes, she did.
All fat and sloppy, Kirstie Alley.
Absolutely. Well, it's a role that can be handled by the fat and sloppy.
And look, she turned it into that lucrative Pier 1 thing.
Sure.
Where everybody else in the Pier 1 commercial dresses like they go to the Gap, but she's like... From
she's like the whole pier.
She's like the, what's that Walt Disney thing? Belle of the Ball. What is that?
You mean Beauty and the Beast?
Yes. What's that girl's name in that?
The Belle.
Yeah, the Belle.
Yeah,
with the fancy dress.
Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
She's like a
St. Pauli girl on steroids with brunette hair.
And the outfits that they make her wear are those big, those like old colonial type dresses.
Well, they can look good. She's really wearing a beer maid's outfit.
Because they cover. Anyway, Rosie O'Donnell will play a retarded woman.
I would like to see...
On CBS!
I would like to see Kirstie Alley do the Anna Nicole Smith thing. I would. Have you seen the photographs of Anna Nicole Smith, who is actually...
She looks good now.
She's getting hotter, you know, hotter and hotter. Kirstie Alley could do that.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. there's an Arnold story that's all over all the newspapers.
Is this the bobblehead thing?
Yeah, we just wanted to mention it. We had it yesterday. Didn't talk about it. Some guy's making... What was that?
I have no idea.
That was your drink. You're lying.
What?
Did you just take a sip of your drink?
Yeah.
Rob? Don't lie to me, Mike.
What?
Come on.
Did you just take a sip?
I heard it.
No.
I heard it. I was looking over there. I heard it.
I didn't know. There's no such thing. I take all of my fluids intravenously.
I heard it. Okay. If I heard it, everybody heard it. Okay. I didn't know what the sound was. Okay. I didn't know what the sound was. Sorry about that.
It's the damn ice dams.
I didn't know. Hi.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, and listen, about this Pat Tillman thing, as long as I'm on the topic of Schwarzenegger... Well, I'm watching this coverage, which borderlines on morose, on the NFL Network and on ESPN. While I'm watching it, they're showing that Skeletor gets up, Maria gets up,
right,
at Pat Tillman's service. Now, what Maria Shriver has to do with this guy, I don't know. The guy went to the University of Arizona.
He
played for the Arizona Cardinals.
Why is she there?
Because she's the wife of the governor. So when she gets up...
But the governor of California.
I know.
Not the governor of Arizona.
She gets up, and here's what she says. And if we get a copy of this tape, because it blew me away. She says, what was JFK, her uncle?
Yeah.
My uncle once said, you know, ask not what you can do, what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. This is what Pat Tillman embodied. We're all proud of him. I want you to know that I feel for you. Arnold sends his best.
Oh,
you know,
come on.
And I just have to stop for a second and say, wait a minute, hold on.
Well, you can't throw a plug in for your husband, the governor?
You're at a guy's funeral. Could you even mention his last name?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You put Schwarzenegger after and say, my husband, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Governor Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger. Instead, it's just, we all feel bad about this and our best to Pat and his family. And Arnold sends his best. He wishes he could be here, but blah, blah, blah.
I mean, what is it with her lately? Because you heard the latest. She now wants to speak at Buzz's funeral.
That's because she's selling a book. She's selling a kid's book.
Yeah.
Well, tell her that we'll take her. We'll take her at Buzz's funeral.
I don't want to talk to anybody until the vigil's over.
Buzz always loved her.
I know.
Is Buzz? What is Buzz's current body temperature, incidentally?
112.
We've been monitoring that.
80.
Well, so
oh, it's gone down now?
It's gone down. What's normal? 98.6? 98.6. You know, if you do that again, I'm going to bust you on that.
All right, no problem.
I'm
going to
bust.
Right.
I won't bust you on that.
I know you won't.
Baby. I would never bust you.
You know who's being bad today?
I'm being bad.
Mike's
today.
Being very
I'm being bad.
Today.
I'm acting out.
Very bad today.
At 3 o'clock, Buzz's temperature was at 107, and now amazingly, he's still alive, but his body temperature is at 80 degrees Fahrenheit,
which normally reserved for people with extraordinary cases of hypothermia
that have been dead for hours.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I just think that's you know, you're you're putting this description out about this memorial service
for Pat.
It really does sound like everybody was.
Yeah, why was she there?
It's
I mean,
weird.
Even a guy like Jim Rome, I mentioned his name.
I'd like to know, you know,
maybe Pat Tillman was on his radio show.
And then maybe they had a relationship.
Maybe they were friends.
You never know what the connections are, but I wish they would explain them.
And like, where was Cher?
She was, and she would have been great, because she was so good at Sonny's funeral.
Yeah. Son.
Wouldn't you? And so, I will show you, son. But I would watch the Arizona Cardinals play. Never not in the middle come around.
And lay the money down.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. You've heard this thing. The Arnold bobblehead doll.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And some guy that's making bobblehead dolls of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm for the guy with the bobblehead.
He's going to give the money to charity. He sells bobbleheads of John Kerry, Wesley Clark, Howard Dean, George W., everybody. The only guy that's had one of these things made and has complained about it is, as she referred to him at Pat Tillman's funeral, Arnold.
Arnold.
Hi, it's Maria. I'm terribly sorry about this. Arnold sends his best. Arnold.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And he's, and that dope is the only one that's complaining about it.
Yep.
Like it matters.
Monday night, I got some great NFL news. Man, listen, I know I'm talking to a small percentage of the audience out there that is into the NFL like I am.
Right.
And would watch it all the time if it was on. The NFL exhibition season starts in August, late July, early August.
Right.
All 65 games,
yes,
with teams that nobody cares about,
right,
will be on the NFL Network.
Fantastic.
Meaning that if I want to see Cincinnati take on San Diego,
right,
in an exhibition game, it'll be there.
All the exhibition games.
Yeah, some will be on ABC, some on CBS, some on ESPN, some on Fox. But
you will not be able to miss a moment of your beloved sport.
All the others will be. That's good. And also, I think you'll like this, that they've hired that girl, Michelle Tafoya, at ABC to replace the dumb whore on Monday Night Football. And we can call her that now. Lisa Guerrero. How many times did they go to her last year?
Mm-hmm.
And she was, a beautiful woman.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Lovely. Eat her up with a spoon.
Right.
But really, hello? Decline. Hey, dumb as a box of rocks.
Does it matter, though?
Well, she's so dumb.
But what do the sideline reporters really do?
Here's the thing. They don't do anything.
Right.
Which is why Melissa Stark was good.
Coach, you feel good about that? What'd you say to the team in the locker room at the halftime?
That's all they do. But here's why Lisa Guerrero got canned. That she was interviewing, who was it, Chad Pennington?
Mm-hmm.
Right after a bunch of the New York Jets left to go to the Redskins.
Right.
Last year, like Chad Morton and these other guys. She said something along the lines of...
Oh, that's the one where Chad Pennington looked at her and said, I want to kiss you.
Oh, no, that was Joe Namath and Susie Culver. I know you were.
Right.
But, you know how I get when I talk about football.
I know. And
I'm sorry. The blinders go on.
And I know you know I'm joking. I simply have to say that so that the audience knows I'm joking.
Well, I think the audience knows that.
But I don't take that chance when you're getting into your football ramped up thing.
You know what? I'll take the blinders off for a second and just say that Michelle Tafoya is not a piece of ass
right,
like the other girls, mm-hmm, but she's pretty enough.
Right.
She's like housewife looking pretty, and I bet she does a great job on the sidelines.
But you don't like the other one, huh? She just wasn't...
Lisa Guerrero?
Not enough football?
No, and just so dumb. And you know they give her the easiest lead-ins in the world, and she would screw it up every time.
And the reason I explain that joke is because you have to treat the audience as a child. And the child will ask for things that they want that will make them ultimately less happy. And I just want them to understand that when I make a joke like that, you know, that they can have something that I say that they look forward to that's not going to go completely to hell.
That Tafoya is pretty. Is she Visser pretty?
Hey, Bonnie Bernstein was doing the updates during the golf tournament over the weekend, and not the best hairdo I've ever seen.
No,
kind of like a Little House on the Prairie hairdo.
It might be good if she would jump over to Fox and maybe do some synergy on the Swan.
I was watching, Jesus, that made me think of some child's... Oh, I think when you said the outfit she had on...
Yeah.
Who's the girl that was on Little House on the Prairie? Melissa Gilbert?
Melissa Gilbert.
Half pint?
President of SAG now.
On Bravo over the weekend.
Screen Actors Guild.
I was watching a roundtable thing on Bravo with child stars complaining about how awful they had it.
Right.
And she was telling a story about one time she was six. She was a half pint on Little House on the Prairie. She forgot her lines. And Michael Landon cleared the set and sat her down, and she said he did it very nicely, but he said, we're going to go over the scene now again until you get the lines right. And then they went over it, and then he said, now, you understand, she's six, this will never happen again. Because what you did today was slow down production on the show and lost
at
us
six,
money.
At 6 years old?
At six. And then, so they're going around this table playing, can you stump this with how bad they were treated? Patty Duke.
Oh, God. Patty, well, I would have loved to see this.
Patty Duke is sitting at the table, and she says, well, I've got one that's even better. And they've got them all there. They've got Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair.
Yes, Jody.
They got the crazy guy from, who's the guy that, on the show with the kitten?
But Billy Gray.
Yeah.
Played Bud.
Tried to kill himself on Father's Knows Best
right.
all the time. So the best one of all is Patty Duke. And she said, my father died. My real life father died. And I didn't want to go do an episode of the show. The studio said, you have to come and do the show. So finally they compromised. And I guess, like, her parents, or at least the parent that was still alive, agreed to this. She had to go to the studio and get made up in her Patty Duke makeup and put on her Patty Duke outfit that she would wear to film the TV show. Then she was allowed to go to her father's funeral.
Wow.
And then from her father's funeral, she went right back and shot the scene on the Patty Duke show.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe I forgot to tell you guys. I don't know the name of the show.
Like back in the day.
But it was a bunch of them sitting around the table talking about how bad they had been treated.
You know, and you wonder why these kids get a little messed up later on.
That's true.
And, oh, hold on. You know, we're running out of time here. This happens every day. Forget it. Let's go to break. I'll just leave you with a bad piece of news. Frasier Crane, the show, you know, Dr. Crane, Frasier, it's going off the air. Thank God it's not like Friends where there's a special every day.
Yes, I'm listening.
Anyway, industry insiders say
Frasier!
That they're thinking about moving him to a brand new show where he still is Frasier. But they just give him new characters.
Oh, no.
Don't they know how sick we are?
No. How many years has Frasier been on? If you count Cheers.
He was on Cheers starting in 1984.
So that's 20 years as one character.
Wow.
Frasier Crane's been on since 1993. The word of the third Frasier Crane series, please, no.
No, put it to rest.
What they're going to do is move him to another city. He's going to leave Seattle.
I have a suggestion.
Yes?
What I think we should do is have a major, major helicopter crash.
Yeah.
Frasier!
That's the final episode of Frasier. A nice helicopter crash.
No, Tindy, you can say you're not listening anymore.
I'm not listening.
Be good. You can move Frasier to Haiti.
Hello, Seattle. I'm participating in a helicopter crash.
Anyway.
Niles, my helicopter's going down.
That's not the only thing.
I understand, Niles.
Do you believe all these years people believe that I'm really like your straight brother and that I'm really getting on with Daphne?
Please contact Lilith. Tell her that my helicopter is indeed going down.
Frasier!
And unlike Buzz Burbank, my body temperature is 52 degrees.
Great news. Great news. They're going to pick up the show. We're just moving out of Seattle.
Oh, thank you, Seattle. We're going to another city. I'm listening.
God, why?
Because there's nothing else.
Frasier!
I know.
And nobody comes up with any original ideas in Hollywood, and it gets worse every year.
All right. Anyway, that's what I got. But we got a break. A spotlight on. So we have the trip to Los Angeles to give away. Spotlight on Buffalo. Not that a trip to Buffalo wouldn't be a great second prize.
Absolutely.
But the first prize is a trip to Los Angeles. We'll give that away later.
Third prize.
When we come back. When we come back. You should look at our affiliate list. I think Buffalo might be third prize.
Yeah.
Might be second prize.
I know what would be last prize.
Hey, you
do. How you doing, Sacramento? And good luck tonight. If Buzz was here, he would tell us that the series with the Mavericks has now gone to game...
I'm looking into that.
Game what, Mike?
Game 21.
Game 21. So it's the final game now.
Final game tonight.
Tonight.
I'd do that to him while he's sick.
21-game series. We'll be right back. Spotlight off Buffalo next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right, right.
I was alone. I took a ride. I didn't know I was.
Station break.
There.
Baltimore Live 105.7.
Another road.
WXYV. Let's see. How about Drakesboro, Kentucky? WNTC 93.5. Portland, Oregon, KOTK, and Spotlight on Buffalo.
Yeah.
92.9 WBUS. Here's the deal. You might remember, it was, I think, shortly after we signed on in Buffalo.
Right.
It was like 6 or 7 months ago. There was a guy that jumped over Niagara Falls without a barrel.
But wasn't he? Didn't they think he was trying to off himself?
Yeah, and he said it was leading to some great Evel Knievel-type announcement he wanted to make. Anyway, he called us.
Yeah. See, I got to talk to this guy, find out when the first time he went over, what was the deal? Was it a mistake? Was it an accident? Was he drunk? What was the deal? Were you trying to commit suicide?
The guy's name is Mr. Kirk Jones.
Kirk Jones.
And
KJ.
Mr. KJ went over Niagara Falls in only his clothes. And now I don't know if he's hoarded this out to every Buffalo radio station.
Yeah,
who knows? He could have been on, but either way, I believe it'll be his first national coverage.
Very good.
Much like the Tron guy. Have you tried the Tron guy recently?
I tried him about 10 minutes ago, yeah.
Try him again on one of these other phones. Yeah. Jay Maynard was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Let's see Jay Maynard try to do that Niagara Falls thing.
Wearing his Tron suit?
Yeah. It has extreme buoyancy.
You know, we were thinking, if Jay Maynard's on the plane back to Minnesota today, we might have to critique his Jimmy Kimmel appearance with him tomorrow.
That might be the thing to do.
Boy, are we getting jammed up.
I'm calling Kirk Jones right now.
Man who went over Niagara Falls in only his clothes.
He's ready for the call, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Kirk, where you at, dude?
Well, you don't know. He might not be the stablest, sir.
Hope he's not with his wife, because I know, no, me and Mrs. Jones got a thing going on.
Me!
Hold on. Wait. Can you wait till I dial? I can't do both at once.
I know.
There you go.
Just remember where the part we're at.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Hello,
Kirk.
Kirk speaking.
Kirk Jones, Don, and Mike.
Hi, Kirk.
How are you doing today?
Hey, dude. Let's see. 92.9 WBUF Buffalo and many other stations throughout America. You're the guy. Thank you for calling us. You went over Niagara Falls in only your clothes. That was last year.
Now, when you did that, Kirk. Why did you do that, Kirk? Were you trying to kill yourself?
Well, thank you for asking me. I'd like to set the record straight on that. No, I was not trying to kill myself. However, I did have to come to a complete understanding that the end result may be the same. In other words, I consider what I did a leap of faith, a challenge to myself. And earlier in my life, I guess as I approached middle age, I realized...
I need the cuckoo sound effect.
Went for all the goals and dreams that I had aspired to do. And I was always a big fan of Niagara Falls, and a couple months before this happened, on October 20th, I went to the falls when my parents had retired.
Uh-huh.
And it was at that time that I got the idea in my head that I wished to challenge the falls, and I vowed that I would return and try to do so.
All right, so you did jump into Niagara Falls.
You had a buddy, right, with you that videotaped it?
I did have a buddy, that's right. The videotape is in Canadian authorities' hands as we speak, and I'm trying to get that back with my attorney there. But the big question, did he get the actual shot on tape, remains to be seen even by me. And I should know in the next few weeks.
Mr. Kirk Jones, just yes or no, were you trying to kill yourself, yes or no?
No.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
You were not
up.
Trying to kill yourself. Were you doing this to get publicity?
Well, I was doing it, first of all, as a challenge to myself.
You said that before, now, but were you trying to do it? Kirk, I mean, really, I'm not trying to give you a hard
just
time.
Just a yes or no answer,
we're
Kirk.
Trying to get to, we just want to get these facts out.
Sure.
Yeah, so, yes, you were doing it for publicity.
I was doing it as a challenge to myself.
Okay, and with that, you didn't care.
You must understand if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, and
I have.
If you have. The Niagara Falls is 18 stories, and you must come to a complete understanding that if you are to challenge something of this great magnitude, then you must understand that the perils involved, and between 12 and 25 people in Niagara Falls die there every year.
Kirk, I'm sorry, I got to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it to challenge yourself. I mean, I don't understand.
The
challenge
same
is,
reason.
Will he live? Is that the
same
challenge?
Thing that makes a single man climb up to the top of Mount Everest, the same thing that makes a single man in a little boat go across the ocean. These are the things that many people wonder why, but once a fixation gets in a person...
No, Kirk, hold on a second. Now, I'm not busting balls here, but there's a difference between someone... I would even give that idiot Richard Branson a free pass on this with his rich guy hot air balloon.
He takes lots of precautions to make sure that he'll have a safe journey.
And all of these guys that you mentioned, they're doing things where there are some type of...
A guy climbs a mountain, you have an expedition, you prepare for it, you do everything in order to assure your safety as much as you can.
Yeah, right, you've got those chains and those things that you try to dig into the wall.
You jump into the falls.
You didn't jump.
I mean, that's scary stuff. What was the experience like, Kirk?
I tell you, I'd love to say I was brave and all the rest of it, but I was scared to death that day. I wanted, of course, to do this. I figured I found the spot that gave me the greatest chance of survival, which was about 25 yards from shore on the Canadian side of the Horseshoe Falls in a famous sightseeing spot called Table Rock.
All right, now, Kirk, so when you actually went over, what was that like? I mean, what was
that? I jumped in the water, and I was laying on my back. It took me about 45, 50 seconds to reach the edge. All the people were screaming that seen me do this. And that was probably the scariest part, not knowing what was going to happen.
Oh, your fans.
When I finally hit the edge, and I couldn't see it coming, actually, because laying on my back, but when I hit the edge, immediately I was forced into felt like being sucked down a drain. I was actually sucked in the very curtain of the falls. I estimate I was in about a 6-foot curtain of water, and my arms were flailing above my head as I was flying straight down. It felt like 70 or 80 miles an hour to me. My eyes were open, and it was a very strange experience.
When you hit the bottom, I'm sorry, I'm fascinated by it. When you hit the bottom, what happened then?
When I hit the bottom, I was immediately, the wind was immediately knocked out from under me. I was immediately forced under the water about 40 feet with all this tons of water cascading on top of me. I estimate I was held under the water a minute and 30 to a minute and 40 seconds.
Wow.
Did they arrest you?
It was extremely painful. It was a lot more painful than I thought it would be.
Did they arrest you? Did they arrest you?
Of course they arrested me.
Well, have they given you psychological tests?
Yes, they did, and after that, of course, they deemed that what I attempted to do was a stunt. I was charged with stunting in the park and with a criminal mischief.
When you said
I was facing 2 years in prison, by the way.
When you said you were held under the water, the power of the falls coming down, it just held you down there. Is that what happened? And it pounded.
Effect. This is what has killed many of the barrel people went over in barrels prior to this. Is the fact that the whirlpool effect and the pressure of the water keeps them underneath the water and in the same area. And many barrel people who have survived the actual going over have been trapped underneath and then suffocated in their own barrels by being trapped for up to 2 days.
How do you get out of there?
Well, finally, I after a minute and a half, I was able to get to the surface. And during the next 15 or 20 minutes, very luckily, I was able to swim my way out of the whirlpool where I climbed up. Finally got to the shore. I climbed up onto the porch, and all my clothes were ripped to shreds. I'd broken two ribs. I'd bruised a couple of vertebrae in my body. I was very lucky not to break my neck. But
you were not trying to commit suicide.
I had to scream, I'm alive. It was an amazing experience to be alive, I'll tell you.
You were not trying to...
I guess you were trying to commit suicide. You just stay down there when the water was pounding on you.
Do you fancy yourself to be a beautiful man?
A beautiful man?
Are you a beautiful man?
No, I would say not.
You are not. Kirk, you called us. We appreciate the chance to talk to you. What's next? I'm assuming you called us to announce your next great stunt, right?
Well, thank you for asking me. Yes, this has opened up a new chapter. I was an auto worker prior to what happened that day in Niagara, but it has opened up a new chapter. And what I'm going to attempt to do now is I'm going to attempt to break the world record for the longest and tallest free fall from a standing existing structure into a protection device.
Where are you going to be jumping from now?
Are you going to do it in Buffalo or elsewhere?
This will be done in the States, but what I can't, I'm unfortunately tell you the exact city right now because we're working out the final preparations and legalities of this, but it will be in the U.S. As you know, I had to pay $5,000 in fines in Canada, and I'm banned from the country of Canada for 1 year.
So you're saying the longest, the highest free fall, and what, you're jumping into like one of those pads?
Type of inflation device.
Yeah, like you see a stuntman do, right? Like jumping off
the building. But Kirk, you're not a trained stunt guy, are you?
Well, I would have to say no to that.
No, and
How tall are, did you say, how many, was it stories?
So this will be, the record stands right now about 71 meters, which is a little over 220-something feet. And I will be attempting to break that, probably in the neighborhood of a 25-story fall.
A 25-story fall. You're going to be a dead man. I mean, there's not stuntmen that jump off 25-story buildings and live.
This is correct. I have been told by the stunt industry that they do believe this is impossible. This is something I do believe that I can do with the proper preparation. However, hopefully, if it's set up right the way I believe it's going in early fall, you will all get a chance to see it if you have this morbid curiosity. And you'll be able to see me live on television do it.
All right, well,
hey, Kirk, I mean, you know, if they're all saying you can't do it, and you're going to buy the farm, don't you think you cheated death once?
This is true, and I consider myself very lucky. I don't want anybody else ever to try Niagara. I myself will not even try it again. I feel I accomplished what I wanted to do, and I'm very appreciative for
okay,
it.
Okay, so hold on.
Am I playing with fire again, perhaps, though? But,
yeah, okay. I'd say you're a pyromaniac when it comes to that.
If we don't talk to you before you do this, anything you'd like to say? Any last words?
Well, I just want everyone to remember, I don't want them to try to hurt themselves anyway, but sometimes the message is you have to go for what you believe in, regardless of what other people think, and sometimes the greatest obstacle you have to overcome is yourself. So.
Well, I want to tell you that at your funeral, I will speak as eloquently of you as I heard Jim Rome speak of Pat Tillman.
That's wonderful.
I will do my best in your at your televised funeral. Kirk? Listen, I don't know if you're whoring yourself out to all the stations there in Buffalo, but you have a home with Don and Mike on WBUF. So when you find out what building it is you're going to be jumping off the 25-story building, please call us back, because we'll come up to wherever it is and broadcast that day.
I sure will. I'll let you know. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hold on. What, Robbie?
Before he goes, would he be able to bring a cell phone with him before he jumps? Because it would be fun to talk to him on the way down.
What? What was that, Kirk?
I said, certainly. If that's what you'd like to hear, hear me scream on the way down, you got it.
Wouldn't that be great? That'd be a first for our show. A guy dying on the air.
Guy dying on the show.
Guy dying on the air.
Man, how about standards and practices when they get their hands on that one?
All right, well, thank you. Spotlight on Buffalo. Thank you. Mr. Kirk Jones. Mr. Kirk Jones. Guy that went over Niagara Falls in only his clothes. And now look at you.
Hey, if you cheat death once, why not try it again?
You've just heard his latest challenge. Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Bye, dumbass.
Wow.
Okay, he called us Spotlight on Buffalo, and you heard it when he jumps off.
I mean, my jaw is open. I don't know how to...
Yeah, when he
I don't know how to figure it out. I mean, what's the deal?
When he jumps off the 25-story building and dies, we'll be there, I guess.
Wow.
Didn't you think that, I mean, he would reveal something that he was promoting or something?
Well, there I mean, who
I
knows?
I thought he was going to like be selling a video of
so
when
you know
when
what
he
he's doing. He's not revealing where it's going to be because nobody's going to let him do it. Nobody's going to let him do it.
You know,
he's going to have to sneak out and do it.
He's going
to
be like the Spider-Man guy in New York. Remember,
right?
The World Trade Center, the guy that used to climb up all the time up on the World Trade Center. He's going to be like that guy. I think he's going to be one of those guys.
You know, all I think back to, I'm thinking about when we both lived in that building in New York City. And you were on, what, the 6th floor, and
uh-huh.
I was on, like, the 8th floor?
Mm-hmm.
And remember looking out that window?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, I know heights.
Jeez.
I know 25 feet.
God.
Okay, listen. That's enough of that guy. I got to set something else up now.
All right, very good.
We got a trip to Los Angeles to give away. And we're going to do it right now. With somebody calling us up, we're going to play a game called Outrun Your Phone.
All right.
I'll tell you exactly how this came to me. Has this ever happened to any of you? You get so used to having your cell phone
mm-hmm.
and walking everywhere with your cell phone and not even thinking about reception. At home, I think we're like a lot of people. We've got our regular home telephone numbers, and then we have our cell phone numbers.
Right.
We have a cordless phone mm-hmm. that goes to our landline at home.
Okay.
It's not a cell phone. It's a cordless phone.
Yeah, I have a cordless phone also.
All right, well, here's what happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. I'm on the phone. I'm walking in the backyard. I'm forgetting that I'm on the cordless phone,
right?
And I get about halfway down my backyard and it starts going, and I go, hey, I don't know what's wrong with this phone. And it just goes, and I'm looking at the phone like, oh, hey, hello, dumbass.
Right.
It's not a cellular phone.
Yeah, it's a cordless.
So here's the contest. It's called Outrun Your Phone.
Okay.
You start in your kitchen.
And there's got to be a way that we figure out a sound so we know that you're in your kitchen. And then you take off running outside your front door, and the person who can run the fastest until their phone craps out is going to be the winner. See, and you won't be able to cheat us and like,
right.
Go, hey, Don and Mike, I'm running down the hall. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be. Hello, are you there? Are you there? Because there is a distinct sound.
Mm-hmm.
That those phones make,
right?
When you go out of range,
and don't they have to talk the whole time they're running?
You bet.
They have to talk, and they cannot make any judgment about the phone. We will be the judges of when your service dies.
Now you're starting in the kitchen, and we're going to find different ways to make sure. Yeah, we're going to noodle some through. I mean, like, you know, turn on the garbage disposal. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we can make sure.
Sure.
Can't be duplicated. So you start in your kitchen. And then it's out your front door.
And run until you lose service.
Run until it's all gone.
And so technically, what's great about this contest is somebody with the weaker cell phones...
They're the winners.
...is going to win.
Or someone with faster legs.
Right.
So, call us now at 877-365-3630. Just remember, you got to be at home, and it's got to be a cordless phone, not a cell phone, a cordless phone.
And then you have to outrun your phone service.
Yes. Then you run... While talking continuously.
Right.
Until you lose your reception. It's called outrun your phone. Because I did it.
Right.
Swear to God, I did it. I'm in the backyard. Hello, hello. What's wrong? God damn Sprint.
Don't hurt me.
Oh, it's a regular phone. It's a regular phone.
That'll be fun. And, you know, any chance to make people run.
So outrun your phone while we all try to get the thought out of our mind of that guy jumping off a 25-story building.
Jesus.
We'll be right. And the prize is a trip to Los Angeles.
Yeah, you don't have to hurl yourself off a building.
No, a trip to Los Angeles for the Wanna Be a Stuntman search contest, the thing on Spike TV that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks.
Just watch for cars.
This is the final trip we have to Los Angeles. Call now. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Shanice? Honey? Honey, I have some bad news.
Let me guess. You are not coming into work in the morning.
Just
goodbye.
The Don and Mike Show.
Something wacky this way comes. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we just checked in with Jay Maynard, the Tron guy from the internet who was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last night.
Yeah.
Checked in with... I believe it's his mom.
His mother.
He's still in the air.
Okay.
On his way back from Los Angeles. We'll get him on the show tomorrow. And we've got the tape of him on Jimmy Kimmel. So we'll review that with him tomorrow. Jay Maynard, internet Tron guy, tomorrow. Plus, tomorrow we're going to get much more into this Queer Eye for the Straight Guy book on tape.
Very good.
Manscaping, hip tip with candles, grooming tips.
Oh, yeah.
And why a stripy shirt is always back?
A stripy shirt?
That's what it says, a stripy shirt.
Ryan Seacrest pays attention to that.
Oh, and tomorrow, Cinco de Negro with Mr. 40.
Very good.
That's boy, we're jammed up. Man, we got a lot. And of course, we'll take a couple of seconds tomorrow to pass along our best wishes to Buzz's family.
Yes, we will. And, you know, if you need details on the candlelight vigil, that'll be held. Where do they decide they're going
to... Well, go to buzzisdead.com.
Okay.
Buzzisdead.com.
Yeah, they'll have all the details there.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a website like that. Do you know, I was on the computer today and looking at some of the sites that my son was on.
Right.
It shows up on the thing. When you click on the thing, it shows where it's been. One of the sites he went to, which I visited, was, and I quote, "John Kerry is a douchebag, but I'm going to vote for him anyway." .com. A real website.
In there. The problem with Buzz, they're still trying to determine where the vigil will be because all the car dealerships are fighting over it.
Yeah. They all want to have it.
Anyway, Buzz is, Buzz is dead. And Joe's doing... Buzz has got the stomach flu. And Joe will be doing the news today.
His body temper's up to 92, though.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, almost good. Normal.
He's rallying.
Good for him.
Well. As Bob Hope would say, he's winning.
He's a fighter.
Okay, all ready? Here we go. Outrun your phone.
Very good.
Chance for you to win a trip to Los Angeles, courtesy of Spike TV.
You'll also be able to participate in Spike TV's I Want to Be a Stuntman Search Contest.
Yeah!
Maybe you'll be on TV Wednesday, May 26th at 9 p.m. 8 Central on Spike TV with Dennis Hopper. Spike
Hopper.
TV, the first network for men.
In the Hopper.
In the Hopper. Everybody gets how to play this game. The shortest amount of time will win, and we've all got our crap detectors out. Let's start with Nick.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for listening. Now, Nick, are you on a cordless phone?
Yes, I am.
Or not to be confused with a cell phone.
And you're in your kitchen?
Yes, I am.
Would you please turn on the disposal?
Disposal. Yes. Here we go.
That's it. He's in the kitchen. I guarantee that's a nobody can duplicate that sound.
All right. Now, when I say go, as fast as you can, out the front door, run down the street, and continue to talk the entire time you're running. Are you ready?
I am ready.
On your mark, get set, go!
Don and Mike Show!
No.
Hold on.
No. I mean, he was right in his kitchen.
I think he's got a bad phone. I think he probably went to a part of his house where...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
it was too quick.
Wasn't good.
I think it's fixed.
Listen, I've done it myself. This is what made me think of this. What you want to do is go out your front door,
right,
and take off up the street.
Sure.
All right, let's try somebody else. Let's try Heidi. Hey, Heidi.
Yes.
Hi there, Heidi. Are you ready to play?
I am.
All right, outrun your phone. Are you in your kitchen?
I am in my kitchen.
Then would you please dump some ice cubes in the sink?
Dump some ice cubes in the sink. Okay. Here I go.
It's an automatic ice maker.
Is that right?
All right, you go with that. She's in the kitchen, Mike?
Yeah, just to run your can opener.
I don't have one.
You know, Mike, I would go with that because...
Do you want the garbage disposer?
I have the old-fashioned kind, too.
Oh, you don't have electric?
No, I don't have electric.
Okay, all right, I believe her. What the hell?
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Out your front door. And
I'm out!
Go!
I'm out my front door, and I'm running. And my neighbors probably think I'm a fool, but that's okay. It's a Don and Mike show. And I'm running, and I'm running for running, and I look like a fool.
Yeah, she's playing it right. It's got to be all the way till it totally craps out. She does only have 60 seconds to outrun her phone.
Oh, we have a time. We're not counting the time.
If she
the shortest time would win normally. If she's got 60 seconds, then that what
well,
are we
I mean,
eating?
Because maybe if we give them 60 seconds and the winner is 58.
Okay.
Understand what I'm saying? Well, she's had more than 60 seconds anyway. Has the phone officially disconnected?
No. There's still static.
Started at 30 after.
So she's coming up on it right at 60 seconds.
And 60, right? I got 60 right there.
Well, I'll leave her on hold. I don't know what to do with her. Jeff? Jeff?
Jeff? Yeah.
Hello,
yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, hi there.
Are you in your kitchen?
Yes, I am. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
When you outrun your phone, how do you get your prize?
We have your number and we will call you back.
All righty.
Sweet.
So okay. You got to run back.
Okay.
Well, did I hear more than one person on the line?
Yeah, my brother is listening on the other line, but I'm on a unit and cordless phone. I'm in the kitchen.
But you get your brother off the phone.
Okay, I'm off. All right, hang on.
Peace out.
Hang up. Peace out. Okay.
Okay.
All right, now, are you in the kitchen?
I am. We've got a garbage disposal right here.
Because your brother would have screwed everything up because your brother would be sitting back at the house.
He'd be going, hey, how you doing? We'd hear him perfect. Well, although... I guess maybe no, you're right, we would because
the phone connection would still be active.
His phone would trump the other phone. Right.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. Wait, where's your mom and dad today, incidentally?
They are not, they're not with us.
They're not, you mean dead?
No, they're in the valley. They live in the valley.
Oh, I was wondering if they met the same fate Buzz did. Can you run your disposal?
I can.
Thank you.
That would be the disposal.
Okay, I don't believe it, Mike?
I
smell a rat. No, I believe it's a disposal. I just smell a rat.
Let's hear your oven buzzer.
It's not going to happen, boys. We want to go to Los Angeles.
I know you do.
That's a disposal.
Okay, are you in the kitchen?
I am.
All right, on your mark.
Yep.
Get set. Go.
Got
got to talk to us.
I'm not hearing him talk.
Disqualification.
Right. Disqualification.
Slacker.
At least the first lady. Let's see if the first lady is still there. Heidi?
Heidi, are you there yet? Did you come back?
Heidi? Hello, Heidi.
Heidi? Maybe Heidi's like making her way back now. No, I don't think she's
Heidi?
Dead, Rob.
All right, hold on. Here is Eric. Eric.
How you doing, Donna Mike?
We're doing great. Are you in your kitchen?
I am indeed in my kitchen.
Turn on the disposal.
I don't have a disposal.
Do you have a can opener?
Do you have a can opener? I don't have a can opener.
Do you have pots or pans?
Huh?
Bang some pots and pans.
Oh, here's my silverware draw. You hear that? My wife's right here making dinner next to me.
All right, I believe he's in the kitchen.
You just believe him because he's got that Maine accent.
No, I really
believe
him.
Really?
You believe
him?
Yeah,
okay.
Can I ask Rob something real quick?
No.
Okay.
We're playing a game. Are you ready?
I am indeed.
On your mark, get set, go!
I'm going, and I'm talking.
Good, keep talking.
I'm outside. Lisa Remini's really fat. I can't stand her.
Keep running.
I'm still here. Hey,
keep Frieda, running.
I got a good idea for Frieda's birthday party. It's just coming up in 13 months. It's right around the corner. I think you should go to a place called Jillian's. I went there one time. It's disgusting, though.
Keep running.
I'm going. I'm running. I'm getting... Do you still hear me?
Yeah, we
30
still
seconds.
Hear
you.
I am a dog. Get away. My neighbor's fucking freaking crazy. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still there.
Oh, come on.
40 seconds.
It's fun. I thought you were
guy has incredible range.
He does.
Hold on. Is it going to drop out?
No, it's still on.
He's still on. Keep running.
Another dog.
I hear the dog.
So do I. And 60 seconds. No, we didn't have a winner.
Hold on. The same static we had with Heidi.
Hold on, Eric. Hold on a second.
That's Heidi and Eric both tied at 60 seconds. 60 seconds is the cutoff mark.
Maybe we won't get a winner.
Well, I would think there'd be I
didn't
trust Nick, the first guy.
Hello, Mark.
Yes.
Are you ready? Are you in your kitchen?
I'm in my kitchen.
Can we hear your disposal?
Yep.
Very good. All right, Mark.
Are you ready?
I'm in there.
Out your front door and run. Yep. Dude, run. On your mark, get set. Go.
All right. I'm out the front door. I'm going down the steps. Neighbors, I almost just fell. I'm running by the car. Running through the parking lot. Neighbors, how are we doing? All right, I'm running. I hope I don't sound as bad as the last guy. And I'm running down. Fire hydrant. I gotta pick it up. I'm going downhill. I'm going faster and faster. I'm as fast as I can. I just threw my back out.
25 seconds.
Being chased by a dog.
Keep talking.
You still here?
And? Still hear him, don't you?
Yeah, I still hear him.
Come on now. He's got 15 seconds. That phone would just die. Now, should it be the moment when their voice goes away?
We might want. Well, this is a brand new game. We might want to adjust that, because then Mark might be the leader. But it's hard to tell when we lost contact with him. So far, we've got Heidi, Eric, and Mark all tied with static.
Here is,
I'm giving them all 60 seconds.
Tracy.
Hi.
Hi, are you in your kitchen?
I certainly am.
Turn on your disposal, please.
I don't have one, but
how about
I have
a can opener?
I have an automatic, I don't have an automatic, but I have a gas stove. Do you want to hear that?
Sure, turn on your
hear gas stove.
Let's hear it.
Hear it?
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Okay.
No, I'd like to hear something else.
How about
you have a can opener? I want to hear a can opener.
Listen,
I've got a can opener.
You don't have one. I want to hear an electric can opener.
I think most people don't have electric can openers.
I think you're dead wrong on that.
Space for it.
We've had how many people on this bit so far? Four people. None of them have.
We only asked one for an electric can opener.
I live in Iowa. Come on.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. Do you believe that she's in her kitchen?
Blake, am I in the kitchen, Blake? Yeah, okay.
Blake is a little boy.
Yeah. Here's the gas. Can you hear it going?
No, we can't.
Don't set your house afire.
Generally speaking, isn't the magic of gas the fact that it's silent?
Yes, it's silent.
Well,
prove you're in the kitchen. Let's hear your refrigerator light bulb.
Can I just open it? Oh, come on, y'all.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. Whoops, the paper towel. Yeah, I'm ready.
On your mark, get set, go, run.
Here I go.
I'm going down the stairs.
Now keep talking the whole time
it's
you're running.
Iowa. It really isn't pleasant to be in Iowa. I wish I was where y'all were. Here I go. I'm really out of shape.
Keep going.
Running. What time is it? What hour
is it? Keep talking. Keep
Must
talking, darling.
Must be upsetting
darling.
To Blake.
Everyone's looking at me.
Mike, who's watching Blake right now?
That's what I'd like to know, Don.
Thank God she doesn't have an electric can opener or he could be hurting himself.
Damn right. But I tell you, she's living like a cave person without an electric can opener.
Count me a troglodyte then. Because I don't have one either. I
can't believe in your space age domicile.
I got the old fashioned kind.
Don, we're getting static.
Oh! Oh! That is a winner.
That is a winner.
That is a winner. Because the phone went click.
How will she serve the sardine?
All right, Joe, you got to bring me her phone number again, please. We have to call this girl back because she's the winner. Hey, the time was, I don't know.
I'm not 30, sure what it was.
I had a clock over here going like 38 seconds, I think.
That's right. There's only one sticky wicket here.
What's that, Mike?
I don't like to throw monkey wrenches into things.
Yes, you do, but what?
Well, with all the static, you could run for a certain end, and there was a very definitive click.
You think she's lying?
She has no can opener.
Is that what that is, Mike? This is all about the can opener?
No, God, I wish I didn't have this crap detector. It's a curse.
That's like me. God, I wish I didn't have these good looks.
It's a curse.
Every day. God, I wish I wasn't so attractive. Is she going to pick up now?
Well, I don't know.
What's up with her?
I'm not quite sure.
Maybe Blank will pick up.
What are you doing? I'm playing with matches,
darling.
Honey, we're trying to call you back.
Now, and see, now if she's playing a game, that adds credibility to it. Hey, 99 left balloons. All right, I like her. Let's give her a free pass.
You found her.
Hey, you're a big winner.
You hated her
when she didn't have an electric can opener. She has 99 red balloons on her on her answering machine.
Fantastic.
She's the winner.
99 Luft balloons.
You found her, the one Nana fan in all of Iowa.
You say Luft and I say red. Luft would be the German version.
Hey, come on now.
Luft balloons, it's Deutsche Neune.
God. Tracy? Tracy, this is Don and Mike. And Tracy...
Hi.
You know, I'll call you after the news. We'll call you in a second, tell you won something.
That's right.
We'll see if you pick up the phone there.
And thanks to Nick, Heidi, Jeff, Eric, Mark, and, of course, our winner, Tracy.
There you go. She wins a trip to Los Angeles. We'll tell her. You know, this is going to be one of those games we're going to have to hone and refine. We'll try it again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think there are ways to beat people's cheating instincts.
And I don't really know that she was cheating.
Oh, you never could.
Per se.
She might not have been.
But she was a mom with a kid.
She had Blake there. Yeah, a kid who she neglected, though.
Oh,
so many wrinkles in this game.
Imagine the times Blake's gone to school. What happened? Would Blake fall down the stairs again?
It didn't need to fall down the stairs. She left him at home with the gas on.
Listen to the gas.
In a world where
leave that gas on,
radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Oh.
He made it up.
Joe, Buzz is sick. So Joe stepping in to do news and comments.
Get ready to go.
Hold on there, Joe. Let me try this girl one more time. Hold on a second. And 319.
Blake is at home right now staring at a can of unopened beans. Forever unopened.
Why?
Blake, who never has tuna fish.
I have it all the time, Mike, with my old-fashioned can opener.
Well, now you get the ones that are sealed.
Hello, Tracy.
Yeah, I just made it back.
It's Don and Mike. Now, listen. First, do you abuse little Blake?
Well, no, he's got a babysitting certificate. He's all right.
Oh, he's an older kid.
He's 10, yeah.
Oh, so he can shut off the gas himself.
Oh, he's
10. Yeah, he's, well, maybe he's a little person.
For babysitting at 10?
You gotta hold on. What is your question, Rob?
Did she say he has a babysitting certificate?
Yeah, I took him to the rec and he got one over spring break.
You took him to what?
To the rec center.
The rec center. Okay, so he can babysit for. I mean, but that's a little young, don't
Who
you?
Who would hire a 10-year-old like Courtney Love might?
No, it's not for anybody else. We have a two-year-old, and sometimes, like, if I go to the store or something, I mean, not for a long time or anything.
That's,
not a bad
that's safe. You leave the two-year-old to the 10-year-old because the rec center gave you a certificate?
I have one. Sometimes she has to go to the liquor store, and, you know, you don't want to bring a kid there.
Hey, so. Come on now.
I guess you're going to do something like that. It would help to have a certificate.
Well, there you go. So I'm legal if anything happens.
I just don't know if I'm in 2 years going to leave my daughter to watch my 6-year-old.
Mike's will be 10 years old in 2 years. You won't do that.
Need a certificate.
You won't do that.
I paid $30 for it. Come on.
Okay.
Tracy, well, then it's got to be worth it. Hey, if you laid out three tens for it, it's got to be good.
Can we have the gas again?
Tracy?
Well, I've got the radio on out there, so I don't want to hurt y'all's ears.
Tracy, congratulations. You're the winner of Outrun Your Phone. Tracy,
you're kidding me.
Tracy, you've won a grand prize trip for two to Los Angeles.
Nuh-uh,
to go to the 2004 Taurus World Stunt Awards.
Oh, my God. Is that with Dennis Murphy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, he was at our fair. The guy with the tongue and the arm.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Tracy.
The guy with the tongue and the arm.
Or lack thereof.
Spike TV, held in L.A. You'll go to Paramount Studios, Hollywood. Brought to you by Spike TV's 2004 Taurus World Stunt Awards with Dennis Hopper. Wednesday, May 26th, 9, 8 Central on Spike TV.
So I get a sitter, not my 10-year-old, to watch the kids while I'm gone.
Yeah, get somebody, get an adult.
Good idea. Tracy, I think I'll ask the question everybody wants to know. When did he leave you?
Who?
The father.
Mr. Tracy.
Oh, my husband, he's an iron worker. He's at work. I hope he didn't get blown over.
Thank God you're still happily married.
Okay, so listen, there is a man in that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Does he know that you're doing the scam where the 10-year-old watches the 2-year-old?
He's kind of doubtful, but, you know, I mean, they're my kids, too.
Yeah, just remember, so are we.
Okay.
Thank you. Where do you live, Tracy? Where's area code 319?
Iowa City, Iowa.
Iowa City, fantastic.
All right, have a great time in Los Angeles. Thank you for playing Outrun Your Phone. Hold on.
Y'all are kidding, though, right?
About what? What, going to L.A.?
Yeah.
No, you won, Tracy.
You win. Winner.
Okay.
You're a winner. Hold on a second, please, for your stuff.
Jesus. What, Rob?
The only thing that we were kidding about is the fact that there's a husband.
Oh, come on now. I've been to Germany. Watch out.
I don't even know what that means, but be proud.
Okay.
Get a certificate.
Go. He's only 10, but he's got a certificate from the rec.
She got a certificate.
It was 30 bucks.
Husband.
30
yeah.
bucks.
That's right. Joe?
Oh, hold on there, darling.
Okay.
Joe, what is your lead story on news and comments today?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Joe. It may be karma time for Clear Channel.
Okay, let's get ready.
Here we go.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You know what you
Who wants to walk the dog in the swamp?
Buzz, if you're listening at home, I want to tell you right now, you know who you are, Buzz? You're Wally Piff.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the guy that had the job and then Lou Gehrig came in one day and then...
Absolutely. Replaced Wally Piff and never looked back.
Excuse me, I looked up and it said Buzz. I meant Joe. Joe, I thought the lead was Britney's Jew tattoo. Joe?
Hi, Joe.
I guess I'm still thinking about the tongue and the arm.
But didn't the list of stories, wasn't Britney's Jew tattoo your lead?
I thought I'd go with something a little more professional.
Wow.
I mean, we'll get to the show business stuff.
I understand. So you're taking editorial content. That's fine. That's fine. I like that. You're wrapping your arms around it. You're making it your own. You know the story about the Britney's Jew tattoo? You know, that was
Buzz. I have it.
I know, but that was Buzz's choice for the lead story today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You're trouble, Ardinger.
But you want to go with the guy from Clear Channel, Don? You want
Briefly,
to go with that?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, you're the man, Joe.
What comes around goes around.
Stay tuned.
Right, Mike?
News and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Man, goddamn, is this a good show or what?
What comes around goes around.
This is very...
Go professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
He's got a certificate. Hey, you ready, Joe? Joe, are you ready? Turn the microphone on, dumbass.
Ready?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How about you, Mike?
I'm trying, Joe.
What's the word from Planet Crapper?
The Don and Mike Show.
We just did a mic check with Joe before we went on the network.
He was grinning at you and not realizing that his mic wasn't turned.
I said, Joe, are you ready? And he says, I hear him through the glass go, yeah. I said, turn the microphone on.
That's all right. What comes around goes around.
Hello, la, 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 the Don and Mike Show.
Hello. It's time for Buzz's News and Comments. Brought to you tonight by Smoke Break. Smoke up. Break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers.
Just looking at him over there. That's enough joy for me.
Available now at fine retailers. Here for Buzz Burbank. Right, Joe?
Hi.
Joe Artinger reporting. Right, Mike?
Joe Artinger.
Good afternoon, Don and Mike. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Here we go.
Clear Channel Communications disclosed Tuesday that Chairman CEO Larry Mays was hospitalized for brain surgery Friday.
That's right, Rob.
How can we sign some Infinity guys up for that deal? I mean, I understand it was involuntary on the guy's part. He, like, passed out in a restaurant or something.
Right.
I think there's a lot of Infinity executives that need that brain, have water taken off their brain as well.
Well, the company said Mays had surgery to relieve swelling of the brain caused by localized bleeding and a small blood clot. It said he was admitted to the hospital after having numbness on his left side, a warning sign of stroke.
Is Mays' first name The?
The Mays.
Madonna.
When he went to the hospital, didn't he go in and they said, oh, listen, you've got this thing on your brain. If you fire Buffy the Love Sponge,
we're gonna
fix you.
It'll be fine.
Something like that.
The company described the surgery as successful and said he is in good spirits and mentally alert.
Isn't that nice?
All right. Mentally alert is the part that makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're talking about a radio guy.
And now the news we've all been waiting for.
Yes, Joe?
It's not likely... Britney Spears to dive into something as serious as
Start again. Start again.
I know, I don't get this writing. It's not like Britney Spears to dive into something as serious as marriage or as long-term as a tattoo without thinking it through very carefully.
That was written, that's Buzz's writing, right?
Yeah, Buzz wrote that.
That's off Buzz's
part. I believe, just to give you a little heads up, he may have written that in a sarcastic
Actually, it's
style.
Written well, it's my reading.
It's a sarcastic thing he's saying.
Oops, she did it again.
Right.
What has she done, Joe?
As you may have heard, against your will, Britney and Madonna are all tight.
Wait, against your will?
That's what it says here.
Wait, what is it?
Never mind, just keep reading.
As you may have heard, against your will, Britney and Madonna are all tight and very much into Kabbalah, a mystical cult of Judaism.
Hold on, let me call Buzz. Don't even bother.
Judaism.
Against your will. You didn't want to hear about it.
Oh.
But you did.
Hello?
Hey, turn down your radio there.
I'm reaching for it.
Buzz. Here we go. Where's Buzz's thing? Did you put that away already? The funeral march?
How are you feeling, Buzz?
A little better now, thank you.
Glad to hear it. Not that one. Where's the funeral music? Not the Buzz music. I mean, the other music. Have you heard Joe?
Yes, I've been listening to almost the entire show.
What about this particular Britney Spears story?
How did you write... Now, Joe, read it again, the way Buzz wrote it.
It's not like Britney Spears to dive into something as serious as marriage or as long-term as a tattoo without thinking it through very carefully. But, oops, she's done it again.
Well, you were going for a little sarcasm there, Buzz, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not really communicated at all. But.
Well, it's a long sentence, even as my sentences go. But, it's one of those things you just barrel through it.
Hey, nearly dying Buzz, did you hear? He changed the lead, too?
Actually, that's fine. I mean, whatever the big news is, that's what he should go with.
Those
were just, stories that I thought were good that ought to be included.
All right, you get better.
Get better, Buzz.
Get better. You sound very ill.
I'm a little tired.
Please get... Are you not feeling too perky?
Not feeling perky.
What time will you be at your own candlelight vigil?
I don't know. I'm still talking to the various car dealers.
Thank you. Okay, all right, get well, please, Buzz.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Body temperature 93.
Yeah, it's going up.
It is.
All right. No, just hope it doesn't go over 100 again.
So anyway, what is it about Britney, Joe? We know that she loves to shock us. What has she done?
She got a tattoo? Yes. So Britney got herself a tattoo with Hebraic lettering that means, well, as it turns out, it means absolutely nothing. It's gibberish. Not to mention she and Madonna
Hebraic. Mike, it's Hebraic.
Was there a well in the story that means, well... I'm just curious.
Yeah, there is a well. It's written.
Okay, so when he said Hebraic, which means, well, it means actually nothing.
Well, as it turns out, it means absolutely nothing.
There, that's it.
Thank you, Joe.
It's gibberish. Not to mention...
What?
She and Madonna have violated Jewish law by even getting a tattoo in the first place.
Why are you waving your arms around?
Because that's what Buzz does.
Is Britney Spears a Jew?
I don't know.
I didn't think she's Jewish.
Maybe she is Jewish.
I didn't think she was. Let's go to our expert.
She's embraced Kabbalah.
It's the form of Judaism.
The made-up Madonna religion.
The crazy Judaism.
Oh, okay. All right.
Very good. Well,
thank you for explaining that.
Is it Judaism or Judaism?
It's a Judaism.
It says Judaism here.
I know. I understand that.
All right, just checking.
Okay.
Just read what Buzz wrote. So listen, Britney Spears got a Jew tattoo, but as it turns out, it's not a Jew tattoo. I mean, isn't it
gibberish?
Right. It's not really, doesn't have any, it's nothing's in Hebrew. It's all just gobbledygook.
Yes.
Right.
The Kabbalah.
Yes. Right, go ahead, Joe.
This bulletin just in the Don and Mike newsroom. Buzz, tomorrow, I don't care how sick you are. Drag your wrinkled ass in here.
A couple of years ago, Britney got a Japanese word etched into her hip. She thought it meant mysterious. More accurately, it means strange.
Okay.
There he goes.
Okay. What's next,
Joe? Hey, here's one we can all relate to.
Okay.
When movie director Robert Altman fired up a fatty in front of British Prime Minister Tony Blair... Blair did what Brits do. He remained calm. Dinner was over, and it was, after all, a party.
Given
by Eurythmics guy Dave Stewart, and the former Mrs. Jagger, Jerry Hall, was there too. But Altman says he didn't want Blair to remain cool. He says he was trying to ruffle the Prime Minister's feathers to let him know that Altman does not approve of Blair's friendship with President Bush.
That Robert Altman. He's crazy, isn't he, Mike? That Robert Altman, he's a famous movie maker.
Absolutely.
He was just smoking a joint in front of Tony Blair. That Robert Altman.
And I like that group, too. In fact, they do a lot of weed. The Altman brothers.
The pot possession was recently made less of a crime in Britain.
That's worth having a beer.
I know.
Just for that alone. Our boy Joe.
What's next, Jordan?
Courtney Love has tested positive for cocaine.
Shocker.
Yeah, really.
The prosecutor in the misdemeanor drug case against Courtney Love said Monday she tested positive for cocaine when she was arrested last year.
That was a misdemeanor.
Here's Courtney Love.
15? Can we lie? Can we fill in 15? No, all right. All right. I don't even remember what it was.
That's not Courtney Love. That's Frida, my wife.
Mm-hmm. Assistant City Attorney Jerry Bayek told reporters that Love tested positive for several illegal drugs after the October arrest, including cocaine. He declined to identify the other drugs. She faces misdemeanor charges of being under the influence of a controlled substance and disorderly conduct after being arrested for allegedly trying to break into the Los Angeles home of a former boyfriend.
I got a hiccup.
There she is, free to love.
After her release, emergency workers were called to her home and took her to a hospital for a drug overdose. Police have testified she handed one officer a plastic bag of pills, which were later identified as oxycodone and hydrocodone.
No, wait, hold on.
Oxycodone and hydrocodone.
Sorry. Isn't it oxycontin?
No, that's the other stuff.
Oh, well.
Hey, been through this before. There's three different...
This is your wheelhouse, pharmaceuticals. Sorry about that, Joe.
Painkillers for which her attorney claims she had prescriptions. Love was charged with...
Just pick up the sentence right where it left off.
Love was charged with two felony counts of possession of controlled substances. She faces more than 3 years in prison if convicted.
Kids, pay attention in school, please. That's just a little message to our younger listeners.
If you're wondering, we got a certificate from the rec center for Joe to do the news today. It was $30.
$30?
He's going to go watch an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old later.
Yeah, wearing his Catalina t-shirt.
There you go.
Catalina Island. Mike, you should be there sometime. We have a beer.
Okay. There you go. Hey, Joe, how's your British accent going? Try the next story in your British accent.
Well, all right. On one hand, some hardened criminals are getting plasma screen TVs in their prison cells. On the other hand, they're only 7 inches when measured diagonally.
Prisoners have to have something to do to keep them out of trouble and to keep them from getting into trouble. In Aragon, prison officials got tired of the fight.
All right, now please stop doing it with the British accent.
No, please continue.
No.
I hate to fight with you, Mike, but I love it.
All right, go ahead.
In Aragon, prison officials got tired of the fights that inevitably broke out in the TV room. That's where the telly is, you know.
And Mike, I'd even say, just keep going, Joe. I'm not listening to what you're saying.
Some of the guys.
I'd even say, if in order for you giving me this,
yeah,
I'll give you the argument about can opener.
Okay, I win.
Who have clean discipline records, and they have to earn the $300 sets by working at the prison. To quote one prisoner, I've never seen Survivor. I want to see that family.
When I go home tonight, I'm throwing out my electric can opener.
Good for you,
Joe. Sadly, we must break.
Regretfully.
What? No, we got another segment.
Oh, no.
We've got
Joe
another.
Help me.
Joe, what's next? Oh, you know, next it's going to be a short segment next. So what's next, Joe?
A new survey shows.
No. Now in your regular voice, please.
A new survey shows that BMW drivers have more sex than Porsche drivers.
Okay, stay tuned. Why would you want to change stations right now?
No, you don't need to.
Why would you want to... Joe, doing the news today.
Right.
My man.
Joe. Al by himself.
My man, Joe. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're garbage cans, Don and Mike.
Garbage cans. Joe, we got 5 minutes left of the show. Let's go back to the news cubicle with Joe for Buzz.
Okay, a new survey shows that BMW drivers have more sex than Porsche owners.
I heard that. You teased that already.
Yes. Well, I told you again. A German car magazine surveyed over 2,200 male drivers and found that Beamer drivers got it 2.2 times a week. Audi drivers were second at 2.1 times. Volkswagen drivers were third with 1.9. Ford drivers, 1.7. In fifth, Mercedes, 1.6.
Thank you, Joe.
You'll notice that's what Mike and I say when we have no comment.
Right.
We just happen to say it spontaneously at the same time.
Well, what that would be really would be wowed by the delivery.
Do any of us drive Fords?
Thank you, Joe.
Thinking maybe not.
Yes.
Will big thongs equal big profits?
Will they? What's the story, Joe?
Torrid, a company that sells intimate wear for women, is introducing thongs in plus sizes, size 12 through 26.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking let's make a group purchase for the ladies of WJ.
Yeah, baby.
We could buy them and sling water balloons out on Main Street.
I'm kidding, of course.
Yes, of course. You don't mean that.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Hey, your thong's here.
Where's the old sound effects when you really, really need them?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the old news guy when you really, really need him?
It's all about rhythm, isn't it?
Well, anyway.
Yes, Mike, it is.
Oh, wait, I forgot to mention. Sizes 12 through 26 and thongs lingerie sets, and even belly shirts.
Lingerie.
Well, that's how it's
going. Lingerie.
Would you please linger a little longer?
And belly shirts. The company has 50 stores across the country.
1,000.
Thanks, 1, Joe.
1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5,000.
Joe, we're to the point now you should probably just go to sports.
Oh, in sports?
Oh.
Golfer stuck with 2.6 million damages for crippling shot. A Townsville golfer ordered to pay $2.6 million in damages after his tee shot hit another player in the head yesterday, lost his appeal in a case that will have enormous ramifications for all golfers, Mike.
Now, I'm trying to get this. I really am, because it is important.
No, he's not retarded.
They upheld the guy. What, a guy got sued because he hit what?
I don't even know what the story is.
Mark Roy Shanahan was playing in an Ambrose...
Come on, make more of an effort. I really want to understand
this. Reading it out loud. Here
Mark Shanahan hit a drive from the 8th tee and struck Glenn Thomas Ollier, 54, who was playing in a group ahead of Shanahan's. Ollier, a former hotel yardman, suffered severe head injuries, which required constant and expensive medical care. Ollier's wife, Susan, sought $3.8 million in damages on his behalf from the Magnetic Island Country Club and Shanahan, but the Supreme Court's Justice Carrie
Cullinane dismissed the claim against the golf course operators.
Dexter Manley's on the phone. He wants to know if he can come in and do the news
now. Unbelievable.
However, he found against Shanahan and ordered he to pay $2.6 million.
I have no idea what the story means.
I know.
I have absolutely no idea.
Now we'll just transition right into the kicker.
Leave that story on my desk.
The funny story.
And finally, a federal drug agent shot himself in the leg during a gun safety presentation to children in what police describe as an accident. His bosses, however, are still investigating the incident. The Drug Enforcement Administration agent, whose name was not released, was speaking April 9th to about 50 adults and students organized by the Orlando Minority Youth Golf Association.
Mike, you've been to Orlando.
Orlando, yes.
Orlando.
Orlando's fantastic. That's where Robert Altman goes.
In Florida.
He drew his .40 caliber duty weapon and removed the magazine, according to police report. He then pulled back the slide and asked an audience member to look inside the gun and confirm it wasn't loaded. Witnesses said when the agent released the slide, one shot fired into the top of his left thigh.
The gun was
pointed at the floor. The agent was treated at Orlando Regional Medical Center and returned to work, a DEA official said. For Buzz Burbank, I'm Joe Ardinger. On the Don and Mike.
Bravo, Joe. Help. No. Yes.
What can I say?
Yes. What can I say? That's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with the new episode. Joe, I appreciate the effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day to you, Joe.
Good day.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Okay. We'll have our gay Ryan Seacrest party on the phone, right? Party line at 8?
Whatever.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Yes.
You're my best girlfriend for this. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Reading is fundamental.
Joe.
Goodbye, everybody.
Joe.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.